The following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, home to many great podcasts, including Neckbreaker, Two and a Half Wrestlers, The Midnight Jury, Pro Wrestling 101, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Apex Radio, and of course, The Shining Wizards. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Audio Boo, and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. There are many ways in which you can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Head on over to iTunes or Stitcher Radio and leave us a review. If you purchase anything from Amazon, visit ShiningWizards.com and go through the Amazon button on the front page. It doesn't cost you anything extra, and a very small percentage of your purchase goes to support the show. Would you like to put our logo on your chest? Visit ShiningWizards.com/merch, where you can pick up one of our new pink and black Heart Attack t-shirts. Or if you prefer, go to ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards, where you can pick up a few other designs, including the Shining Wizards Network shirt. We are the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, and we hope you enjoy tonight's show.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Curt Hawkins, and you're listening to the Shining Wizards Podcast. Funk is on a roll.
Funk is on a roll. Hey, 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 yo! Can somebody call my mama? It's about to get funky up in here.
Yes, funk is indeed on a roll. Welcome, everybody, to Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, where, of course, it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
I'm Tony.
I'm Eddie.
I'm Matt.
I'm Kevin.
Hello. What's going on, boys?
It's Tuesday, and you know what that means.
It's Brodus Clay night. Funkasaurus will be joining us.
Brodus Day.
Brodus Day in the mother effing time.
In Canada, it would be Brodus Day.
Speaking of which, happy
Brodus
Canada
Day. Brodus A.
Happy Canada Day to all our Canadian listeners.
Yeah, Cappy Canada Day, Casper.
Did I say Cavity?
You said Cappy.
Cappy Canada Day.
Cappy Canada Day.
Was it Andy Cap from Canada? No, he was like Irish, wasn't he?
I don't know.
Something like that. I like his hot fries, though.
Good for you.
What's going on, fellas?
We already asked that.
But nobody answered me. They just said Cappy Canada Day.
You answered your own question. My answer was, it's Tuesday.
Oh, two for Tuesday.
Yes, yes.
So who's the other two? We got Brodus Clay. Who else do we have on tonight?
You are podcast cancer.
I am dying
right into it.
Oof.
Wow, well, right to it.
If this is the first time you've listened to the Shining Wizards podcast, that's Tony, hashtag podcast cancer. And if this is the first time, your kid's touching my feet, it's creepy. If this is the first time you're listening to us, please go back, check out past episodes. We just had Kevin Gill on. We've had the returning Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
Mr. Mick Foley, Rob Van Dam. And a slew of other guests. ShiningWizards.com is where you can find all that information.
We are proudly members of the Clutch and Wiggle Entertainment Society. We are on Marks for Life.
Sounds
we
like a
society.
Cult.
That's right.
Yeah, sounds like a cult. It does. They come in to clean your curtains and then they just brainwash you.
I don't like on that. An island, it would be Cult Cabana.
I don't like that. That you didn't set this up tonight. I feel like I'm like.
You got to drag your pole. You got to bring the pole closer to you.
Yeah, drag
it's the
your
knob
pole
on the other side.
That
there
old
you go.
Gag.
Woohoo! Speaking of gags, have you guys seen the newest update on Trash Bag Wrestling?
No.
Should I have?
They put a picture of Justin Credible.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Was that from his outdoor?
No, it's indoors. It's a very recent picture, though.
Are they on Facebook or do they have a real site?
No, I think they're just on Facebook.
That doesn't make sense. He's been wearing the same gear forever.
Yeah. I like the site just as much as anybody. Like, when they really post, like, the garbage of wrestling, it's really entertaining.
Yeah.
And it's not just, like, because he's one of our friends.
Right.
He's a friend of the show.
It's just disappointing.
Who are they? The guy's made money in the business. Who are you to shit on this guy?
That's all right.
I'm looking right into this poor kid's face, and I'm just dropping curse words like it's my job. Well, I'm looking right at him like, I know I shouldn't say it. But looking right in this poor kid's face.
His face. I didn't see this. What were people saying? First of all, why was he up there? Because obviously he's always worn the T-shirt,
yes,
the jean shorts.
Yeah, that's exactly the one thing I did like. He wasn't wearing the black like under tights,
the leggings.
Which I see. I have it up.
I always hated. I mean,
it's just because
he's got a bit of a gut. I think that's the only reason why they trashed him, because most of the comments are about his belly.
Right.
But otherwise, it's just incredible. That's always how he's looked.
Basically,
he didn't change anything. It's not like he's wearing like Under Armour,
no,
like, you know, or like just ripped jeans or anything. Like, that's the way the dude looks.
That's his gimmick.
Exactly.
And so that's how he made a living. And that's why he's an ECW legend. That's why he's a former WWE superstar, TNA superstar. And to put him on that site, like, who are you? Like, no offense. I mean, I guess no offense, Trish, but I really don't care one way or the other about him.
That's, you know, you're going to get the good with the bad, and Facebook provides the forum for these guys to create their own page and, you know, they went from pointing out shitty wrestlers to just attacking anybody now. Habib from the car wash was on there.
Yeah.
Now Justin Credible. These are established guys.
Like, it was just a profile picture.
I know.
It wasn't like it was like an in-ring action kind of thing.
All right. Their mission statement, if you will, like we're about on Facebook, it says, intended to be a comical look at indie wrestlers' gimmicks and gear.
Okay.
Not attacking anyone's in-ring abilities, credentials, or character. Just their gear. All right.
You know, the Fallen Angels were on there, too.
Yeah, and that was taken during a practice when they were in their practice gear.
So,
because they actually have real gear. They have masks and tights and boots.
Matching tights. They actually put money and effort into the design of their gear, too.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know what? Sometimes that site is funny as hell.
And other times, you just got to scratch your head.
I'm like, I don't understand. But, you know, it is what it is. Whatever. You just brush it off.
Always consider their source.
Yeah. Yeah.
Always consider the source when you look about how, like, insulting or how much credit you should give somebody.
One thing I don't like is sites like this are run by people that are hiding. We don't know who runs it.
Oh, well, like basement dwellers?
It's like the angry wrestling vet.
Who's hilarious.
He's also a promoter.
Is he?
Yes.
Who is he?
Who is it?
There was something going on Facebook. He's the guy who's ever promoting the wrestling in the church. It's that guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Reverend Devon. Has he ever wrestled before, this guy?
I don't know enough but I saw there was a back and forth with someone on Facebook about him.
Oh, wow.
And some people had problems with it.
Really?
I don't know him, so, mm-hmm. You know, I don't know the situation, so I can't really comment, but...
Interesting.
It's, you know, people are just trying to put each other over. There was a big thing...
Well, put themselves over, you mean?
Like, one of the guys from the Monster Factory was, they started, like, a petition or something to get him to Japan, and a lot of wrestlers took offense to it because he was just... trying to put himself over, and there's people that have been in the business for, you know, however many years that work and bust their ass, and 13, 14 years in, they finally get that opportunity.
And get invited and have their way paid for.
Apparently you get the shit beat out of you if you just fly yourself over there.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
But well, I mean, whatever. Should we kick money in to teach this guy a lesson?
No, it's just...
I'm not paying for anyone's trip.
The wrestling business is just... It's just weird like that. Like, people...
I got bills.
People are, you know, they're just trying to put themselves over. Everyone's trying to make a dollar, so...
Well, if you have a couple extra bucks, Behind the Ropes Kickstarter is coming down to their last week, so...
How close are they?
They've got a little bit of ways to go.
Yeah, what do you think? It doesn't look good, huh?
I don't know. I mean, I support the cause. I mean, I'm a fan of Greg Valentine and Tito and all those guys, and, you know, Drew is my boy, a legend on the East Coast, so... I gotta support it, dude, and I hope that you folks out there, you know, become interested in the project and will support it too.
Doesn't look good I mean, the promo looks good, but the
I would imagine that it's going to be excellent. It's just that, you know, people got to get up and just throw it a couple of bucks. If everybody threw it like a dollar that listened to us, they'd have like 20 extra dollars.
Well, maybe if guys like Tito Santana and Greg Valentine and the Bushwhacker saved some WWE money and they can front it themselves.
If Tito saved that green belt,
he could have sold that and fronted the project.
He could have funded the whole thing, never mind like 2-3 Kickstarters.
These are guys that are more successful than I'll ever be in my life, and they're basically asking me for money.
Can we have some money? Arriba!
I don't know if I'm okay with that. I'm okay with independent filmmakers asking for Kickstarter, guys that never made it in the business, you know, things like that. But these are guys established.
All right, and a side question. You know that LeVar Burton's been doing this whole thing for Reading Rainbow, right?
Right.
What do you think of that?
He's trying to get Reading Rainbow kickstarted again, right?
Yeah, but he's like looking to raise like millions of dollars, and it's LeVar Burton, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I know.
I don't get a guy in that position like having to go to the public for money.
It's true. Well, like, someone else was too, a pretty big star was asking for money. I think now, it was Ted DiBiase.
Let me ask a question.
Junior.
What's the difference between LeVar Burton asking for money to restart Reading Rainbow and DDP asking for money to fix Scott Hall?
Was that what it was?
Yeah, this is
no,
true.
No, that's not what it was, but how is that any different? Scott Hall was a millionaire.
Because he's an admitted addict, and we all understand what happened and why he's poor. And people that support him and love him and want to see him healthy were donating to the cause. Where these guys, there's no like backstory. We're not saving any lives. We're not fixing someone's health. We're just donating to a cause where people themselves can make money.
You know, now, I wish I had a computer. I would have been playing We Are the World.
Now, so you go, you donate to Scott Hall.
Right.
But now, the last couple months, he's in bad shape. He's not doing well.
Right.
Does that feel like a slap in the face? I took my money, you know.
Of course.
And I'm not saying I did, because I didn't donate, because I don't really buy into those things.
But the situation is, that's a gamble. I mean, like, it's
Wait,
Scott
Hall. What are we debating? Catch me up. I'm still caught up on this whole PJ thing.
Oh, Jesus.
I thought you were watching soccer. Really, Kev?
Yeah.
Listen to the show, and then call us tomorrow, and we'll further this conversation on the telephone.
What are you talking about?
Kickstarter. People that have experience in business, people that probably should have money, people that have made more money than I have my entire life, asking for Kickstarter money from people like me that have no money, basically.
All right. I'm all caught up.
And then we're talking about Scott Hall. And how, you know, the cause was, you know, get him healthy, save his life. The guy's in trouble. And he was doing well for a while. Then Matt said, all of a sudden, it seems like he's not doing so well right now. So was that a waste? Was it all for nothing?
What, the his people, entire career, basically?
Well, no. The people that donated the money.
Where were you, like, the last 5 minutes?
I was watching all the comments about the whole Justin trash bag thing still.
Okay. The people that donated money to Scott Hall's cause. I honestly feel like they knew what they were getting into. It was a crapshoot. But they did it out of the kindness of their heart. The Kickstarter for the wrestling movie that they're trying to get out.
Andrew Anderson's
thing. Yeah, it looks awesome. It's filled with names. And I'm an editor. I know what kind of work goes into that. I know what kind of money goes into that.
Dude, don't say it out loud. They'll lowball you.
I'm not saying anything. Hey, guys, I could do this for so-and-so. But it's just like... Okay, Andrew Anderson has made his living on independence. He was never like a megastar in the big three at the time, now TNA, WWE, whatever. But the other guys, they've been in WrestleManias. They've been all over the world. They don't have like, how much are they looking for to put
10,
in?
10 grand.
10 grand. They don't have like 3,500 each.
Tito Santana's probably got that alone just from his other businesses as a teacher and a salon owner.
It's just strange to me.
Probably
I don't
gets that
maybe
from tips.
Yeah, but it's probably not like. It's not their project. Like, someone said, I want to make a movie about you guys.
Oh, okay. So that makes sense.
I would imagine. I don't know.
Well,
I
that changes
I haven't
everything.
Even looked at it to see
So they're
the
not
story
the people
is.
Putting it together. It's an outside
so
company.
So if like it would be like us putting it together and like we don't have
$10,000.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't know if it's... Let me see.
Well, if that's the case, then I'll support it. If it's independent filmmakers that don't have the money to do it themselves, then I totally support it. But if it's something that like Greg Valentine, Tito Santana came up with, you guys got to do that on your own.
I mean, there's still a reason why the guys are working. I mean, they can't be loaded.
Well, they're loaded in other ways.
They can't be rich. Okay. They might be loaded, but they can't be rich.
True statement. Very true statement. I don't know. If it's an independent film company, then I'm all for it. But then again, a guy like LeVar Burton trying to get Reading Rainbow off the ground, if a television studio saw Reading Rainbow being profitable, they'd do it themselves.
Right.
But that's a true statement.
That's educational. That should go back on there. That's a good show.
Just rerun it. You'll never.
That's true.
You'll never match the past glory of what was Reading Rainbow.
Just like you'll never find another Mr. Rogers.
Never, dude.
Never, 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 never.
Never find another Mr. Rogers. Ever.
Have they tried?
I don't even think they tried. They know
not like an actual Mr. Rogers, but kind of like a
like
Mr.
a guy
Rogers.
Like that.
Yeah.
No, because in these days he'd be viewed as a pedophile.
Here's what they did. They took. Do you remember the make believe part with all the puppets?
Yeah.
They turned it into a cartoon, but they focused on Daniel Tiger, which was like...
Meow, meow.
But it's Daniel Tiger's kid.
His name is Daniel Tiger.
His name is also happened to be Daniel.
Oh, okay.
So it's all like X was the owl. His son is named O. And it's like all dopey little characters like that. Like there's the one cat that goes meow, meow, meow and all that.
Yeah, the one that was in the tree with the owl.
Yes, it's like
the
her
cat
daughter.
That says meow. What could? Who
no,
could
that was Daniel Tiger. Meow, meow. He lived
no,
by the
No, Daniel
clock.
Tiger didn't do that. It was
he
a different
didn't?
One. It was a cat.
Oh, okay, that's right. That's
but it's
right.
all like their kids, and it's like the theme song is the same, but it's like the kids singing it. Like there's all different words to it.
Oh, they're keeping the spirit alive.
Yeah, it's a
that's
good
cool.
show, but it's not Mr. Rogers.
Right,
like,
they'll never be.
But this is on now?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they'll my kid was into it a couple years ago when he was younger.
There'll never be another Mr. Rogers.
Never.
Ever, ever?
Ever, ever, ever?
Let's do a Kickstarter to resurrect Mr. Rogers.
Can we show your video that you did to CeeLo Green?
From the grave. Yeah, I'll post that again on the Facebook.
It's all I ever think about now when I think of Mr. Rogers. Fuck you.
When he's doing the Mr. Thumpkins song, he goes, where is middle finger?
Yeah.
And just puts up the middle finger with a shit-eating grin on his face like, I know what I'm doing.
To a little black kid, no less.
I know. The kid's just looking at him like, huh?
Oh, you think he told his wife, like, sweetheart, I flipped off a Negro boy today.
She's like, that's good, Fred. That's good.
Take off your sweater vest. I'll throw it in the wash.
I don't wash my vest.
Or my Carnigan sweater.
Imagine if he was just a violent man at home.
Like his zipper gets stuck in one outtake and he's like, God damn it.
Son of a bitch.
Takes off his shoe and he throws it at Mr. McFeely.
He kicks the trolley across the room.
Not so beautiful now, is it?
He punches picture right in the face.
Picture's got a big smash.
What was the mailman's name?
Mr. McFeely.
Mr. McFeely.
His speedy delivery.
He kicks him in the balls. Get out.
Punches Lady Elaine in the twat.
Ooh. Lady Aberlin, I presume.
Boosh.
Wackadoosh.
Thank you.
He can't get his pants off. He's like kicking him around the room, falling over everything. Knocks over the goldfish. They spill. They're just flipping on the ground. The children are screaming.
Boomerang, toomerang, zoomerang.
Hello, neighbors.
Hello, neighbors. Oh, I would give anything to see Mr. Rogers' outtakes of him just flipping out at the cameraman.
Oh, trolley. What do you have today? You don't have enough money to feed my heroin addiction? Get the fuck out of my house, trolley.
Trolley.
Today we're going to get needles.
Today we're going to talk about addiction. Phenomenal.
Hi, trolley. Did you score me some rocks today?
Goes back and forth on the tracks. He's like, I have tracks too.
Do you know what methamphetamines are? Let's find out.
Oh, God. We have Brodus Clay on tonight, ladies
and
gentlemen.
Yeah, we do.
Just a reminder.
And Mr. Rogers talks about beautiful days, and it seems like there's beautiful days ahead for total nonstop action.
Yeah, it does. That was a very good segue.
My neighbor.
Kevin's on drugs. Is this what it's like to be around a friend that's on drugs?
It might be.
You're my first real friend on drugs. It's frustrating to me, and I feel bad.
Yeah, I might be on drugs. I feel like I'm on drugs.
You're just high because TNA's been a good show these past couple of weeks.
I didn't watch it last week, but I did finally catch up with the one that was in Bethlehem, and I thought that was a good show.
Yeah, well, you know what helps? The crowd and the fact that they were in Bethlehem, you know? Yeah.
Well,
you could have a great show at Impact, and it'll come off like shit on television because it's in that stupid Impact zone.
But apparently, from everything that I've read, the New York tapings were all pretty cool.
Awesome, from what I hear. So. Adam Henning was
there. Did you watch Impact?
I did watch Impact.
Matt's
our
resident
week.
Impact guy.
Good for you.
Because no one else watches it.
I put forth all the effort to watch Impact.
If I had DVR, I'd watch Impact.
If I had time.
If I cared. Right.
Well, no, I had DVR, I'd watch Impact. Now that I know that it's on demand, but like a week later, I'll watch it.
You know what kills it for me are the spoilers. I read them like an asshole, and I'm like, okay, sounds good, and then I don't watch it.
Yeah, but depends on who's writing them.
I can't remember.
I ruin it for myself.
Matt's the one on drugs.
Yes.
I read...
My memory.
I watched this Friday, and then I had to go back and just look over the results today before I came here.
Yeah.
I needed a reminder.
What happened again?
When I read the spoilers, they tape so much, I don't remember which episode is itch, and they tape out of order.
They're taped until New Year's.
Is that right?
No, August.
But it sounded so believable.
I know. It was very believable. But the thing is, I mean, it could be a great show, but then you look at Raw.
I think we made that joke last week.
Probably. Yeah. But then you look at Raw from this past Monday, and I can remember everything.
All right, don't get into Raw yet.
I'm just saying, that's the difference. Like, everything on that specific Raw.
I could probably tell you word for word how it went. I could probably tell you segment by segment.
Absolutely. But Impact, what do we have going on Impact?
They opened Impact with some bitches in a tag match. Yeah. Which, I don't know. Coming off of the Lashley title win, you kind of think they would like do like a celebration first.
Well, I'm happy they opened with a match instead of
a
20-minute.
It was.
Okay.
I'm all for that. You put the girls out, that's fine, but it's better than a 20-minute in-ring segment. I mean, last week we complained so much about them talking over and over again. I think it's cool to start off with some action. And in the history of TNA ratings, the Impact chicks always draw a lot. They always have the highest segment,
really?
Usually. Yeah, it's weird. What are they called? Knockouts.
Yes, knockouts. Let me ask you a question, though.
Yeah.
The beautiful people. There's which one is Velvet Sky?
The one on the right.
She's the one that's
the
tagging
one with
out,
the vagina.
Bully Ray. But she's got brown hair. Who's the blonde?
Angelina Love.
She looks like a skeleton, man.
Really? I like both of them.
No, man. She's heavy duty on the makeup.
Angelina's actually good looking in person, too. She's hot, dude.
I don't know. She looked like a fish.
She looks great. Are you kidding me?
No, Velvet Sky looks good.
Velvet Sky is hot. I think if I had to choose, I'd pick Velvet Sky, but Angelina Love is no slouch.
I don't know.
Up close, she's hot, dude.
Then they butcher her makeup something terrible, dude. I don't get it.
No, you're not into it?
No. I mean, if I met her in person, I'm sure she's delightful, but I don't know. On TV,
delightful.
I thought we ended the
Mr. Rogers segment.
So what else happened after the ladies wrestled?
So the ladies wrestled Gail and whatever the fuck her nuts is, the chick with the titties.
Taryn Terrell?
There you go.
Taryn
they beat Tyrell. The beautiful people.
The beautiful people.
Then they have the Bobby Lashley title celebration, which is, I guess it's, maybe they're trying to cut back on all the talking, but Lashley comes out, they celebrate, MVP's so excited, this is a new era in TNA. EY comes out in the sling because they beat up his arm. Poor guy.
Just his arm.
Yeah, just his arm. His arm's in a sling. But then he fucking runs down to the ring like he's going to take on three dudes. They stomp a mud hole in him. Bobby Roode comes out through the crowd again, makes the save. MVP's like, come in the ring. Talk to me face to face like a man. We'll figure this out.
Wait, so is Bobby Roode part of the Shield now?
No, Bobby Roode is not part of the Shield. He is part of the Royal Canadian Mounties.
What did I just walk back into?
TNA.
Oh, no wonder the show's going to hell.
So they're fucking having this exchange. MVP is the boss. I can fire you. Don't be stupid. You can come back. You know.
Don't be stupid.
And then some fucking old banker walks out onto the stage. He's the fucking board of directors. And he fires MVP.
Okay.
He says you're fired, but not as good as Vince. Like,
are they just trying
as good as Damian Sandow?
Are they kind of like doing a hard reset on everything and just trying to start from scratch? It seems, because I think MVP is going to be a full time wrestler. Obviously, if I'm not going to spoil it, but I don't think Dixie's going to be on TV much longer.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah.
Not me.
All right. So who?
One her wonky
Banker
eye.
Fires.
Banker fires MVP, and then later tonight we will announce who the new head of whatever the fuck MVP
wrestling
op-
director yeah. of wrestling operations.
Oh, John, great, John Laurinaitis.
Another authority figure. Woohoo!
Come on,
we come
stop.
Back. There's a four-way dance.
Not you.
For the X
figures.
Division title. Past guest Manic actually makes an appearance.
Good.
It was actually a decent match. It wasn't long. It was a good pace. Everyone got their spots in.
Wait, that was with some Sonata?
Sonata, Crazy Steve.
Didn't he do a whole thing? He's like, you want title shot?
Yeah.
You want title shot?
I did see that.
Because they did a thing in the back where Nux, he gets off the phone, and he's like, I know. We'll come home with the money. And he hangs up. He's like, Crazy Steve, you got to win the X Division title. We need the money.
I do kind of like Crazy
they,
Steve.
Bookie? Oh, that's right. That the whole gimmick is that they have to get money to open up the circus.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I like the menagerie.
I haven't seen him yet.
You should look
but
up.
But I think I've heard nothing but good things about Nux and especially Crazy Steve.
Crazy Steve is
incredible. The breakout.
Yeah. But, definitely the guy.
When you think about when you say it out loud, I just said it out loud. They need the money to reopen the circus.
But you know what?
It just sounds so ridiculous.
It does, but I think it's awesome. Like
I have
how
to
great!
See it.
Like that's an angle. Like God, guys, we need to make money so we can reopen the circus. I could get behind that and be like, yeah,
yes,
you do.
Yes, start a Kickstarter.
Didn't Jeff Jarrett do the same thing? He wanted to use the WWF as a stepping stone to a country music career. Wasn't
it's not reopening shtick? A circus.
That's not the same.
We have to bring back Zubily Zoo. All right,
Zubily Zoo.
No, but I've heard nothing but good things about the menage.
Yeah, the menage.
The menage, as I refer to them now.
Eddie's favorite, Dixie Carter, comes out and cuts another promo.
Thanks for ruining her eyes for me, dude.
Bro, she's
yeah,
got a wonky eye.
It's like traveling further and further south, like every week.
Each
do you
taping.
Think, do you think
it's fucking Robert Gibson in drag.
Can
That's
they
exactly what it is.
Can they stare into each other's eyes?
She's slowly having a stroke
she can
every clear, week.
She can clearly tell Spud if he has earwax in his right
Dixie,
ear.
Dixie like cookies. Dixie wants a cookie. She got them cookie monster
nom,
eyes.
Nom, 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 nom.
So
give me your money, Mom. I'm going to nom it up. Nom, 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 nom.
She comes out to cut another promo, and she
of
thinks she's
going
to be the boss, and then fucking Bob the Banker comes out and says, you're not the boss, and she throws fucking champagne in his face, and they're all bent out of shape, and then fucking Bully Ray comes out, and he beats up Spud and beats up EC3, and then he's going to put Dixie through the table. She wants to give him $200,000 not to put her through the table.
He should have been like, how about you take that money and hire back half the roster you fired?
So he he's got her in powerbomb position, but then Spud runs in and knocks the table over, and EC3 Colcock's bully, and they get Dixie out of there.
Mm.
But it wasn't a terrible segment, and I think Spud is – anything he's involved in is entertaining.
Great. Yeah, definitely. Spud's awesome.
You get an I don't even know why a James Storm Mr. Anderson match, which may have been like 2 minutes long. I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
Tony kind of spoiled it last week, or was it you? Sam Shaw is getting out.
Oh, thank God!
Of the loony bin, and Gunner is going to sponsor him.
That's awesome.
So,
again, I find that funny.
That's going down.
That they're gonna probably have
is he gonna do like a 12-step program?
I hope so.
Maybe
each week he has to like do something else. Like
yes.
Apologize to those he's wronged.
Maybe
I'm down with that.
We'll see.
I think that's funny.
He has to attend meetings.
Yeah,
but he's not an alcoholic. He's like a psycho.
Well, yeah, but there's
you still
got to
take the steps. You
yeah,
can't
there's
be a
there's
stalker.
Steps for psychiatry.
Sure. Yep.
Cold value.
I like how Matt says that like he's an expert on it, and then he's just like, yeah, whatever.
Hey, yo, this is steps.
Yeah, it gets Brick Scott Hall in to help him out.
Yo. 1 through 12.
It would have been really funny if he went to the wrong door and it was Scott Hall in there going, and he goes, hey, can you help me out?
Well, they did that angle in WCW when Ric Flair was in the mental home and just Scott Hall walks by.
That's right, I forgot about
that. In like a sheet or something, like a gown. He just walks by and goes, hey, yo. He just keeps going.
I remember that.
That was funny.
After that, Tommy Dreamer beats up EC3.
Of course he does.
Uh-huh.
So Tommy Dreamer's still floating around. They're still going with that.
I'm surprised he hasn't played up on the fact that his name is EC3. Like, they could have done something there, I think. ECW, EC3.
Like, you turn the three sideways and it becomes a W.
There it is.
Go.
Yeah.
And that's that.
That's coming.
Please send your check payable to Shining Wizards.
It's coming.
You get the Monsters Ball match, the main event. Bram and Magnus against Abyss and
Willow. Bram, 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 Bram.
It's pretty much a hardcore match with a bunch of weapon spots. It wasn't terrible. It was fun.
Cool.
Abyss is a hamburger. He's full of meat.
The turd burgers.
The turd burger.
The dirty sheets.
Willow. Willow.
All right.
And then
last week,
they end the show with Bob the Banker. He comes back out. And he makes
who's Bob the Banker?
The fucking guy from the board, of directors.
Just some rum dum.
Some fucking old dude who came out in a suit like four times.
It's Jim Herd, all right? It's Jim Herd. It's Jim Herd.
And his
Pizza Hut outfit.
And they Kurt Angle is the new boss.
Yeah, I could deal with that.
Since he can't wrestle. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Wait, he can't wrestle anymore?
Oh, I don't know.
No, he's hurt. He's recovering from surgery.
Still?
He had a really serious surgery.
Yeah, why is he still trying to wrestle?
He's not trying to wrestle.
Bob the Banker.
No, I mean,
I mean, he's not Bob the Banker, but
you were watching the soccer game, right?
Yeah,
you, a lot of drinks.
No,
oh, okay,
no,
two.
Man, no, I'm
just trying to figure out. You're like on like cloud nine over there.
Kevin is like Willow.
It's the heat.
It's the heat.
It's the heat and Tony's kid.
It's the heat and Tony's kid, basically.
Hi, buddy.
At least he's not putting your shoes in the popcorn machine. Throwback reference.
Alrighty then.
Kurt Angle, he's the new boss. Fucking MVP has a problem with it. He reinstates Bobby Roode, and Bobby Roode and Eric Young beat up MVP and Bobby Lashley and Kenny King, and Impact goes off the air.
So thank God.
Be excited.
For good? It's not coming back?
That's it. The end.
And scene.
End scene.
End scene. Well, it sounds okay. I mean, it doesn't sound terrible. It is what it is.
It looks like it's going in the right direction. It was good.
Yeah.
The storytelling is good.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not like off the page, doesn't make any sense. They're not changing it every week, and I guess that attributes to them taping so many in advance. But I mean, at least the storylines are consistent.
Now, wait, this was the first one where they had the six-sided ring back, correct?
No.
No.
New York.
That's coming.
Oh, this isn't New York yet?
No.
Is it Bethlehem still?
That was Bethlehem.
Yeah. Okay.
We have five more months of Bethlehem. And then New York starts in 2015 through the 2017.
Then it's Armageddon.
Then it's Armageddon.
Then they come back to
then
the
it's payback.
Okay, then it's payback. Okay.
And then we're back to WrestleMania.
Gotcha.
No bad blood?
No.
Beware of dog?
Over the edge, over the limit?
Can't say blood.
Well, no?
No. No, you can't. They can't have bad blood anymore.
Period.
Oh, God.
Bad period. Bad period.
What else we got going on?
They killed it in New York City, TNA.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I heard. I heard they packed the house. It wasn't sold out, but it was still a good crowd.
No, apparently, what was the last show, Friday or Saturday? Friday?
I don't know.
Their last show was, I think it was a legit sellout. That's
okay,
what I
cool.
read.
Okay.
Which so is good for them.
Yeah, yeah,
it could
yeah.
have been a Thursday, Friday, Saturday deal, right?
No, they ran Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Wednesday,
yeah, that
Thursday,
was
Friday.
Right. And they ran a show in Lakewood this weekend, and I think they drew over 1,000 people.
Really?
They had a 600 presale from what I read, and then about a 400 or 500 walk-up.
Wow.
I mean, that's not bad.
Something circulating around where, like, I'm not sure where it was, if it was like someone's Facebook status, but there was something going on. I'm not sure if it was a World Cup game or something where everyone was leaving. Like, they had 1,000, but people left. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, to watch something else.
Yeah, but you know what? They're in Lakewood, New Jersey. They just did 3 shots in a row in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you wanted to go to a big show, like, that was, well, that was the show to go to, you know?
Well, you know what's crazy, though, is I live in New Jersey, and I did not know they were having a show in Lakewood, New Jersey.
Well, Lakewood, we can ask Chris, isn't Chris Short from Lakewood?
Yeah.
He is.
So, I mean,
that's South Jersey.
That's like in the boonies.
Yes, it is in the boonies.
Home of the Lakewood Blue Claw. Blue
I'm
Claws.
Sure if you're like on their social media and Facebook and Twitter, I'm pretty sure I saw it advertised on their Twitter.
The venue was doing a lot of the promotion. Wherever it was held, they were responsible for a whole lot of the promotion.
Was it part of the, I know they do it every summer where there's a baseball game and then Impact afterwards?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
No, the baseball game show drew like 200 people.
That's in Brooklyn. And that's where Ring of Honor now is.
Yeah, they're running in August.
Oh, really?
At the baseball stadium.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I mean,
a lot of returns to TNA in New York. I don't know if they're all full-time guys under contract now, but some old names coming back.
Yep.
You know, I don't know if I want to spoil it. I guess it's.
Did we say that we didn't care about this last?
No, I'm pretty sure it's.
It's out
made
there.
Public knowledge, just because didn't they tape the X Division One Night Only?
Yeah.
Yes.
Thing that's going to be on pay per view in like three months. Whenever
so
they fucking.
You have Loki. You have Loki.
Hulk Hogan went back.
Oh yeah, they have Loki.
Brother.
Homicide's back. Rhino's back. I think Rhino comes back.
Devon, I think, is back.
Devon's back. Yeah.
Well, Devon was back when they announced them in the Hall of Fame. So
but now he's battle
now
wrestling.
I think he's back.
Yeah. So a lot of guys coming back. They got
Matt
the six
Hardy.
Sides back.
Matt Hardy.
Pillow.
Pillow.
They're back.
They did a Hardys and 3D table match, right? Ladder match?
Yeah.
Something
yeah.
like that.
It was the first time they had a match, I think, since 2002, which is crazy.
That is wild.
Yeah, that is kind of wild. See, they had a Hardys Dudleys match together, tables match.
They're all 12 years old.
I think
older.
the Wolves against the Hardys too was a match.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So sounds
Adam
like
Henning
a good...
and the Donger were going nothing but rave reviews on Facebook.
We should
have
had
so.
Them call in to right. give us report.
They have their own show. They can
yeah.
do it there.
The Midnight Jury.
That's true.
They could talk about it on their podcast, The Midnight Jury.
But it could be like, you know, like me and Gene Oakland, like the Hotline Report. Someone calls in, or like Lee Marshall. Lee, on the road,
oh,
Lee Marshall, RIP
poor
Lee
Marshall.
Marshall.
Poor Lee
on
Marshall.
The road, on the road report, we just have Adam call in and do the TNA report.
Let's never do that.
Well, because three fourths of us don't watch the show. So
I'm starting to.
I hope I do start. I've been saying that for weeks now, but now I don't have comedy on Thursdays now, so now I can probably.
But to go back to what you guys said earlier, if I DVR stuff, I'll never watch it anyway.
It sits and takes up
my
room.
My DVR, I'll have 8 episodes of Impact before I go, ugh, I don't want to watch this.
I'm an insomniac, uh-huh. though, so I'll watch it at like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right, yeah.
So. Yeah, weren't you messaging at like 4 in the morning yesterday?
Probably.
Like, I wake up at like 6 and I go to take my shit. I'm like, let's see what's going on. It's like 15 different posts from Shining Wizards Kevin. Like from an hour ago. I'm like, Kevin, go to bed.
Nah. I went to bed at 8 o'clock this morning.
Nice.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Must you be were trolling nice. For Punana, right?
Nah.
No?
I was watching the network and having some teas.
Nice. Nice.
Well, speaking of the network, former WWE superstar.
Superstar.
Brodus Clay. I don't. What is he going by now?
Brodus I guess we'll Clay. Have to ask him.
Well, he's going to be joining us, so when you guys come back, you'll hear the Funkasaurus.
When they come back?
When
you
we
mean
come
when
back?
We come back?
Well, they'll be coming back with us, right?
No, they're listening to the commercials.
You'd hope.
We'll be right back.
I got nothing.
Is that a cue for me?
Yes.
Cut it.
This is Mike Norengartner, and before there was Facebook, before Blu-ray, and before cell phones, there was the last old-school generation. Join me and my co-host, Adam Henning, on The Midnight Jury as we take you on a trip back to the 80s and 90s. We debate pro wrestling, horror movies, and pop culture, all from WLW Studio South in Philadelphia. Let us transport you back to that last old-school generation and join in our debate on The Midnight Jury. You can find us at facebook.com/WLW Studios, and we are available on iTunes, YouTube, and Stitcher Radio for the Shining Wizards Network at swn.shiningwizards.com.
Finish this episode of the Shining Wizards. Get off that $12 whore you just tore apart and check out Neckbreaker, the only podcast on professional wrestling and heavy metal music. Wrestling headlines, metal news, and guest interviews while your hosts get completely shit-faced. New episodes premiere every 2 weeks on neckbreaker.net or follow their lousy updates on Twitter and Facebook at NB Podcast. Just like Ziggler at the Garden, this ad is over.
Hey everybody, Stickman here. If you're looking for pro wrestling news and interviews that you can use, then be sure to check out the Apex Radio Show, covering the Ontario wrestling scene and way beyond. We are the pro wrestling podcast of Canada's capital, so listen in as we talk with the finest in the pro wrestling business and keep you up to date on what's going on in the local wrestling scene. You can find us on Facebook and on Twitter at Apex Radio. Apex Radio, exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network. Available for download on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Audioboo, podcasts.com, and of course at swn.shiningwizards.com.
your new symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting, from the current to the way back. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, only on the Shining Wizards Network, ShiningWizards.com, RantEMRadio.com, GeekLifeRadio.com, iTunes, Audio Boo, and Stitcher.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight on the Shining Wizards Podcast, we are joined by the Funkasaurus himself, and you can see him September 20th at Rahway, New Jersey Rec Center for Pro Wrestling Syndicate, Mr. Brodus Clay. How you doing tonight, sir?
Woo! Maintaining.
Maintaining, man.
Water, yeah. Room temperature.
Awesome. Bro, you've been in high demand. I see your name all over the place. You've been doing a lot of interviews. Hopefully tonight you don't find yourself repeating yourself too much and getting a lot of the same questions. But, man, you've been in the news lately.
Yeah, definitely. It's been a lot bigger of a reaction than I thought it was going to be. I thought I'd go quietly into the night. So I guess it's kind of cool to be relevant after the machine steps away.
Yeah, and the crazy part is it seems like right now you're more relevant than you have been in the past few months.
Yeah, 100%.
And that's
More freedom and more opportunities to, when you don't have Big Brother watching you, you know, you can do more interviews, you can pretty much do whatever you want. So, and I'm taking full advantage of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the release, did that come as a total surprise to you? Were there rumblings that there was going to be like a Black Friday?
Not really. I don't really pay attention to the, rumors and stuff like that. And I had kind of been out of the loop a little bit. So not being used, being put in the bullpen or whatever, I was assuming that I would rather be on my own than just sitting. I never wanted to be a guy who was just like, oh, I work for the WWE and that's enough. Like, if I'm not contributing and I'm not able to do what I do, then I'd rather move on. And, ultimately they felt the same way. So it worked out.
Right. And the crazy thing is, like, a guy like Curt Hawkins, we had him on a couple weeks ago, and he sat at home, it seemed like, forever. You were still doing stuff in NXT, so you were really never non-active on the roster, so to speak, so you weren't really sitting home too much. But how much were you taken off the road when you were put into NXT?
It's to do the show, shoot the show, like, on Thursday and stuff like that, but you still be on time for TVs and things like that. So not too much, just, being, but then again, being there, but not, being active is sometimes worse than sitting at home, it's a really long day when you're not part of the process,
Right.
And you're just kind of there and, too much time in your hands is never a good thing. So, but there was, compared to what, when you're going strong and you're doing your thing and you're part of the the greatest show on earth, it's awesome. But then when you're not a part of it, it can be just a coffin in terms of like frustration and just wanting to be a part of it, and you really don't control those things. And, then after a while, it gets to the point where it's either put up or shut up. And, yeah. I just didn't want to be one of those guys that just wrote off and, because if you sit for too long, then, eventually your release happens or your contract expires. You don't really have, you're not relevant and nobody will really, it'll be like an uphill battle just to get in on anywhere else, So this actually worked out and it was a lot bigger response than I could have possibly anticipated. So, which is cool.
That is cool.
Now, it's weird about the wrestling business because in a lot of other professions, a lot of people would be perfectly content to sit home and just collect a paycheck. I mean, obviously, when you're on the road, the bonuses and all that stuff probably are nice perks. But what is it about wrestling and what is it about wrestlers in general that they want to be a part of the machine as opposed to, like, a lot of other people would be perfectly fine just, every 2 weeks, direct deposit.
I think that goes with being a competitor to being an entertainer. Your fans pay your salary. The fans want to see you, and you want to see them, and you want to be a part of them. And there's no greater feeling than performing. And sometimes being so close to it and not being able to perform is the worst feeling because it's just frustrating, And it's competition,
Yeah.
They say sports entertainment, but it's still a sport. It's still athletics. You still want to be out there. You still want to contend. You want to win championships. You want to be in those situations. When you're not, you know, if you're, and I, you know, I, when I played ball, I was the same way. Football was the same way. Basketball was the same way. A game of Monopoly was the same way. So, you know, I've always been like that, and I would never want to be any other way. And sometimes it doesn't, you know, behoove you, but it's worked so far in my life to get me where I'm at. So I'm gonna stay neat and, you know, just never be happy with being second.
Well, you mentioned that, you know, you thrive on competition, and I think that, you know, the Funkasaurus character was a huge step for your career. Like you said, you know, like you're kind of surprised at the outpouring now that you're not part of the machine anymore. But I think if you look back on the development of the Funkasaurus character, it's one that really sticks out and one that stands with people. You know, it sticks with us as a great character. One thing I noticed, though, when the character first, when you first debuted as the Funkasaurus, you had part as part of the gimmick, you would call out the moves that you were going to do, and there was a lot of like jaw jacking with like, you know, my bad, and like the little dancing and calling spots. Who came up with that, and why did it disappear so fast? I thought that was fantastic.
Who came up with that? Actually, an angry fan in about the third row. when I debuted, there was a guy who was dressed like the Juggernaut, the guy from Planet X, Brodus Clay. He had his head shaved and he had his shirt on, All Will Be Destroyed and all that stuff. When he saw me come out, he had this look of just horror on his face. And his lips were quivering. And like he was, and I, at the corner of my eye, like as I hit the pyro, I was like, turn and look, I could see him. And he was just staring at me. And I knew he was going to say something, but he just didn't know what to do. And then I shot Hawkins into the corner or something like that. And as I was going to grab Hawkins, he yelled, "You suck, Brodus Clay." But it was so heartfelt. And he's so angry, and I just looked at him, and I was like, "My bad." And just, the whole place just laughed, and then I was like, "Should I get him?" And then after that, it was on. And then some of the I kind of got away from that, not necessarily the house shows or whatever, but on the TV, we kind of got away from that when we started getting more serious, because some of the guys took it as it was being like disrespectful to them, like you were making fun of them or something like that. So, you know, I wasn't tripping, but on the house show, it was a good time. And, guys like, Heath Slater, you know, they would do heel versions of that stuff. So, you know, it's no big, like it was cool, but, I liked doing it. It was fun. But the one thing it did is it brought, you know, fan interaction back in wrestling. And I don't think we had that since JYD. Probably the last time we had that. And, you know, going back to, like, the development of the Funkasaurus character, here's the real of it. I was going to be the monster. And then the big show and Tenzai thing was going. Mark Henry was getting ready to come back. Kane was getting ready to come back. So in that situation, being the newer kid on the block, I would have been the fifth or fourth monster. And that would not have bowled well. So given the opportunity to try something different and outside the box, I was like, looking back at it, could I maybe challenge those guys or whatever? Yeah, but then looking at like a legitimate, like, where can I get in? Where is the opportunity? And it was, and that's where it was.
But
so it was like, because I had proven I could do it with Alberto, I had proven it in NXT, you know. Superstars, we were getting great reactions. The work ethic was there. So the other stuff I had never really done other than just clowning around. So when it was thrown at me, it was like, you know, well, as Dusty Rhodes says, I'm not going to tell you what to do, because when you go out there, you'll know what to do. You know me, you know my history. You'll know what to do. And so I just took a deep breath and just went out there and did what I felt was right. And it, you know, and it was successful. You know, could have been more successful, absolutely. But the situation I was putting in, I thought I did pretty well given kind of throwing it to the fire.
Well, I think also too. I mean, you know, when the character first started, you know, it was a big guy, but he was having fun. He was having a good time. But you know, as the months went on, you know, you had challengers from the other big men, and we got to see another side of you where you actually stepped up, and you know, you were the Funkasaurus, but you know, you wouldn't take any shit in a fight. You know, like you were standing up to the big men, and it led to a couple of notable feuds that you had. You know, so not only was there the funny side, but there was also like the kick ass and you know, ask questions later side.
I think I can credit that to the stuff with Jack Swagger and Dolph. That feud with Santino, right. I didn't need to be funny during that time because Santino was that. So I got to be the heavy in that situation. So it was great, and I got a chance to let. Just the physical, you know, my style was a little different than the other big guys. I tried to I always wanted to work like a double A. I always wanted to work like a Taz. I didn't want to work like a big guy. I didn't want to stomp and hover over a guy. I wanted to be athletic and dominating, and but at the same time, not throw moves away. So I wanted a different style. I wanted to be different, you know, more like a Bam Bam or a, even Bundy was, you know, King Kong Bundy always kind of, he was his quickness. He doesn't get enough credit for how quick he was in terms of like doing stuff or whatever. So I wanted to be different in that aspect. And I wanted to be more like an Apollo Creed type where he was entertaining and flashy, but when the bell rang, he was business. And I wanted that to be taken seriously. I thought that was the way to go. And some people disagree with it, but that's the way I wanted it to go.
Right, right. And by you saying that's the way you wanted it to go, when you're in WWE and say you have an idea or you're frustrated, how easy is it to just, like, if it's easy at all, to approach somebody in management and say, hey, listen, I have an idea. What do you guys think? I mean, do they welcome suggestions or is it just something that you have to just wait for them to tell you?
It all depends on the relationships that you build. And, you know, quite frankly, that's something I probably could have done better. But yeah. I've always been a speak until spoken to kind of a cat.
Right.
Like I go, agents are like coaches, and you know, football, I always went to my offensive line coach if I had a question. I didn't really talk to the head coach that much unless I needed something, you know.
Yeah.
I did a good job, the head coach would be like, good job or whatever. And I kind of looked at like Triple H and Vince McMahon in that aspect, you know. And was that, you know, to build, you know, like the relationship there more proactive in that, but it just wasn't really in my personality in terms of like I would go to the agent and the agent would give me the answers that I needed. So I didn't really think I needed to go over them, you know, unless the boss wanted to speak to me or something directly. So that was always kind of my approach to business. And I was like that with Snoop too. And just, you know, I've never been really a big guy on like, hey boss, what's going on? Just never really, you know, I'm always thinking I always got something smart to say anyway, so I'd probably say the wrong thing. So best if I just, you know, stay on the DL and just go through the proper channels. And
yeah.
That's kind of how I carried my career. And there were other guys who did things differently, but it's not for me to judge them or say anything, but just that's just what worked for me. Like, it served me well. On the other hand, you know, what's good for you can sometimes be bad for you. So.
Right, right. You mentioned working with Snoop. Give me a little history on that. How did you actually get involved with working with Snoop? I think I read you worked with him for about 4 years.
Yeah, 5 years, but I was working other clubs and stuff and had built a reputation of being I had a lot of stripes in terms of breaking up fights and holding clubs down and being able to run clubs with small staffs and not having too many problems. And our crew over a short amount of time became in demand. And then Snoop's manager basically grabbed a couple of us, me, Big Keys, and a guy named Phil, a couple other guys. And, you know, I climbed up the ranks through there. So it was just kind of in L.A., you know, we ran the club and we just had a crew that had a lot of respect and we handled stuff and reputations, everything out there. So when you have a reputation as a guy who's good with hands and can run a club and not have too many problems, that'll get you a lot of work.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. And were you a fan of Snoop Dogg before you even met him?
I love Snoop the person. Ice Cube guy. Didn't really care for NWA. You know, I like Cube, America's Most Wanted and stuff like that. Snoop was with Dre, so I just kind of really didn't, you know, his music, his first album is a classic, but wasn't really a fan. Like oh man, his music is, you know, it is what it is. He's who he is, but no, I wasn't a big fan of his work.
Okay, so you weren't really like starstruck working with him or anything. It was just kind of like,
not at all. We coached football together in his youth football league, and actually beat him for coach of the year. Here we won a championship. So I was competing with him all the time. If we're not playing video games or one up in, and he's a Laker fan. I wore my Celtic jersey. I never ever wanted to be like, you know, I would argue with him in a second. If he said something about the Lakers, I'd be quick to be like, especially the year I worked for him when we came back from 20 and beat LA. In LA for a championship. I let him have it. And I made bets and things like that. And every time the Patriots play the Steelers, I'd make bets with him. You know, like, you got to wear my team's jersey if you lose, or you're my credit card next time we're in a shop. Like, yeah, lots of good bets and stuff like that. So, but I think that served me well because he never looked at me like it was, to me, it was a job and he was my boss. And we got along and we coached together. But, like, you know, we're not friends or anything like that in terms of, like, you know, we're not, like, buddies. And he's the homie now, and when I do talk to him, it's nothing but love. But we'll always have that boss employee relationship, and that's how I like to keep things.
All right, so based on what you just said, am I to believe that you're a New England Patriots fan?
Yeah, diehard.
This interview's over.
Yep. Brodus, thank you very much for let me and Matt just preface. I'm a New York Jets fan. He is a Miami Dolphins fan.
How's that feeling, knowing, like, your entire lifetime loving a team, you're never going to win a championship? That's horrible.
But which one are you asking? Which one of us are you asking?
I feel bad for you guys. Like, at least you guys have each other. So you can both do it together.
Yeah, they do.
It's
hell
it's,
of a draft, guys. Good quarterback.
I was a season ticket holder.
Hey, by the way, I just want to say that the most I've ever laughed in my life and just giggle like a little school,
I think I know what it is,
was the Jets New England game. And like, I didn't think a guy could run in another guy's ass and take a bump like that. And thank you, Sanchez. I think I actually broke the DVR on my TV just running it back. Like, this is a work. This did not happen.
Yeah, I bet you weren't laughing so hard when we beat you guys and Indianapolis back to back to get to the AFC Championship game not too long ago.
Yeah, but how many rings do you have?
Listen,
I mean, that's like, so you date a girl, but we married her.
Give me something. Give me something to hold on to, please.
You get nothing.
Yeah. You have the Giants. Oh. Yeah, I guess you can always jump ship.
I can't. I actually, you know what? Here's a funny story.
The
second Super Bowl, the second time the Giants beat the Patriots, I was like, you know what? I'm thinking to myself, because I live right in the Jersey, New York area, I'm thinking to myself, and as the biggest Patriots hater on the planet, I was thinking to myself, you know what? Kind of wish the Patriots won that game, because that's how much I despise Giant fans.
Hey, you're sitting across from one, mind you.
And I respect that, because, you know, I got lucky because New England was bad. Me growing up, they were horrible.
We both had Curtis Martin. So.
And the Celtics were horrible. So, and the Bruins were horrible. And then all of a sudden, we just got good in the last few years. So everyone goes, oh, this, that, whatever. If you're a diehard fan, you're not even used to this.
Right.
We're used to, like, you know, going, I mean, we had the perfect season and lost the Super Bowl. No one does that unless you're a New England fan.
That's right.
Listen,
like,
well,
you know, so
one giant loss.
Between us,
thing we have going for us is that we got a little better than the Jets and the Dolphins, and the Jets can always have the Dolphins. So, yeah, that's our division. And then when all else fails, there's always the good old Bills. So, you know, I'm a diehard fan, but I'm a real big bully when it comes to, like, picking on teams in my division. So,
don't be a bully.
Be a star.
No. not when it comes to the Jets.
was pro football ever in your future? Was that something that you had dreams of doing, or was it always
wrestling?
I
played college ball, and, you know, I'd worked out for the Bills, the Cowboys, the Detroit Lions. I'd played some arena football, so I got a paycheck playing football, and then I had a couple injuries and had a nagging knee coming out of college, and I never wanted to get the scope surgery. I ended up having to get it later on as a free agent, and that kind of hurt me a little bit. And I ended up sitting out a year trying to get better, but football, you sit out a year, you might as well sit out 10. Yeah. And that's when it was time for me to move on. And, you know, I was teaching and bodyguarding, and even played a couple semi-pro games just because I missed it a little bit. But then after doing that, I was like, forget it. And then, of course, the wrestling opportunity and bodyguard came along. So, I've been in athletics most of my life. So, been very lucky in that regard.
Right, right. Like, it seems you transitioned into wrestling pretty fast. You started basically in a WWE developmental, or were you ever in the indies?
No, WWE. Like, I always was approached a couple times. Just it was in terms of, like, working and make if it doesn't make dollars, it doesn't make sense. And just in California, there's just not a lot of, like, you know, indies that it was – I didn't even really know about it.
Right.
To be honest with you, I didn't know much about it. And I watched wrestling on TV. I really didn't pay much attention to – I didn't even realize that there was, you know, internet pages and I didn't know about any of that stuff. And I actually thought they were syndicated sports writers when I first got in the and the first time I ever read anything about myself online, I was devastated because some guy, some hater fan said I was worse than Kali and Kozlov combined or something like that. And I was like, God. Oh, man, how do I get – I need to talk to that writer. And they're like, it's not a writer. It's some dumbass Mark in Pensacola or something like that. And I was like, what? So why are they guys writing stuff online? I'm like, that's what they do. I was like, you got to be kidding me. So I had no idea. Like, I thought they were actual columnists.
Oh, but, no.
No, I know much better now.
Yes, yes. Just kids in their basement kind of like us.
Yeah. That's kind of what we're doing.
No, we're grown men in a basement doing this.
Yeah.
So you're in Deep South. Bill DeMott, was he the guy when you were there?
Yep, Bill DeMott was there, and then after that was Dr. Tom, and then after that was Mr. Kern.
Okay, Skinner, for those of you who don't know. Bill DeMott, I hear like the good and the bad of Bill DeMott. What are your experiences like with Bill DeMott?
Oh, man, he was a great coach, and I had a football background, and he reminded me a lot of offensive line coach, so he was strict but fair.
That's cool. And what about Steve Kern? Because I know he's a fantastic wrestler, a great mind in the business.
Oh, great psychologist and just a heel. That's the only way to describe it. He's a heel.
Yeah. And is being a heel something you prefer more than being a face?
Yeah, I think it's easier. Being a face is hard these days.
Yeah.
Because the heels are cool. It's kind of a gray area now. You know, everybody wants to be the heel now.
Right. And that's so. Yeah. I mean, let's get back to your WWE career. You end up forming a tag team with Tensai, Jason Albert.
Yep.
Let's get to how that came about, because it seems to me when a lot of guys, basically he was just Brodus Clay number two. Like, how did that end up?
Oh, and I disagree with that. Like, he brought so much to the table. I just don't think people got a chance to really see that. Like, I think his heel character was just, the timing was off because Big Show was so hot with the whole people power thing. And Tenzai kind of got lost in that shuffle because the Cena and Big Show monster heel and the Mark Henry thing, like, he just kind of got lost in the shuffle. I don't even think that his heel push was a failure. I just think that you just had so many other things going on that he just kind of got pushed to the side. And it had the same thing happened to me as a babyface with Show. Like, things started going off with Show, and we had that thing where he beat me up, and look, I was going to get some get back, and then he just moved on to Cena, and I was just kind of like left holding the bag, and the fans kind of were like, well, nothing came of that, so you kind of lose steam real quick because the people are like, well, the bad guy came out, beat you up again, and then moved on.
And I just wanted to correct myself by saying that, listen, I knew that when Tensai when Tensai came in, I wasn't knocking him as that. It's just my point was at the time when, like, basically you made it for me was when two singles guys seemed to fall not out of favor but just get lost, they ended up getting paired together, and I was going to say that it ended up being something good for you guys.
He played the straight man and you were trying to get him to crack, so you guys are doing, you know, the shovel down to the aisle. You guys aren't doing backflips or anything like that.
Any bad dance you could think of, I was like, bring it, the shovel, the sprinkler, the Gangnam style, you know, like, change it up, you know, like, we just, you know, whatever was on bad VH1, we did it. It was fun and anybody could do it.
Yeah, you know? and the crazy.
And, he was great. He was better there than I was, to be honest with you.
Like, nah.
He would let himself go and just be into it. And I kind of did my thing, couldn't wait for the bell to ring, you know. Like, hey, kids, all right, ring the bell.
All right, done with the dance.
So, you know, like, oh, 5 seconds, brother. We need to get this dance in. Like, all right, man.
That's funny.
Double power bomb him. You know, no, let's work on our shovel steps. All right, man.
Fine.
So, yeah, but he was good. He was a lot of fun, man. And he's a good friend to this day.
That's fantastic. And another a big name over in Japan. And speaking of Japan, I believe that is definitely a great option for you. I've read that you are interested in going to Japan. Is that something that you would like to do a long tour of?
Yeah, 100%. That's when my complete cause is up, I'll definitely be calling you.
That's fantastic. You would fit right in there. What kind of gimmick do you think would go with there? Would you continue on with the Funkasaurus type gimmick, or would you just be in a monster?
No, chapter's closed. I closed that at WWE, and I'm not gonna look back. I have some unfinished business as an aggressive suplex machine, and that's the direction I'm going.
Fantastic. Now, when you're booked on the indies, I know you have some shows coming up. What are we gonna see?
Yeah, Funkasaurus is staying. When I shaved my head when I left the WWE, the Funkasaurus, that's where he stayed. So I'm moving on from that.
Okay, that's good to know.
Breaking news.
Yeah.
I know over your career you had two WrestleMania moments, and I need to know which one was the bigger moment for you, being Alberto Del Rio second in what turned out to be Edge's last match, or coming out with the gaggle of mamas and doing the dance at WrestleMania 28?
Well, one was a promo, and the other obviously being a part of the historic moment of Edge's last match, I mean, hands down. And T-Bone and Christian was one of the greatest thrills of my life. Skiing DDT on the mat, not so much, but that moment with the T-Bone on the floor was one of the highlights of my career.
Yeah, and you actually were able to have a tag match with Edge and Christian in one of their last tag team matches together. So that's pretty cool to have to experience that.
Yeah, that's historic, and they were great guys, class acts.
Yeah, man, a lot of good memories there in WWE, and I'm sure one of these days, you know, full circle, you'll probably end up back there. But there's so much for you to do right now, man. I mean, like you said before, you never really had a shot at the indies, and it's a whole different world when you're dealing with the right
I believe
promoters.
The times are changing. You know,
yeah.
I really think that the grip of one company running everything, I think it's changing. I think things are starting to change. You know. Small places are starting to become territories again and things like that. So, you know, you never know. So I think it's a good time. I think it's a good time for wrestling in general.
It really is. I mean, the indies right now, they're hot again. They're really hot again. And it's just, it's not like untrained backyarders working for shitty promoters. I mean, like,
no.
You have some good indies out there. Like, you're going to experience firsthand in September 20th when you're with Pro Wrestling Syndicate. I work closely with Pro Wrestling Syndicate. I do a lot of their video stuff, and I see firsthand the effort they put into it, and that the top caliber athletes they have working for them. And you're actually working Homicide September 20th. How familiar are you with Homicide?
We've actually never met, but I've seen his work in TNA quite a bit. So, and I've seen some of his stuff on YouTube. I've been studying up on him, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I definitely looking forward to that, too. I see that as like a strong man, stiff match. It's going to be phenomenal. Anything else you got going on right now? Any other talks, any other shows coming up?
I'm booked like till January, which is great.
Very nice.
And, you know, I'm going to Japan with the Dolphin protest. I'm excited about that. And doing all my training stuff online and, you know, the fit camp stuff. And that's Twitter, the Camp Meals, and people check that out. And, you know, always hit me up on Twitter. So I'm going to keep doing my thug fizzle, and I'm excited about just being able to be me again and just do my thing. And, you know, sink or swim, you know?
Brodus.
Break bread and play dead.
That's it. And do me a favor. Do us a favor and elaborate more on what you're going to Japan for in terms of the whole dolphin activist thing. Let people know that.
If you've seen the movie The Cove, if you haven't seen the movie The Cove, please check it out. The Academy Award winning, it's a documentary. You know, Blackfish. I've seen those two documentaries. There's a slaughter that goes on every year there where they herd the dolphins up behind a cove, and they take the ones that they're going to send to SeaWorld and the other, you know, aquariums are all around the world and amusement parks and stuff. And then the ones left over are slaughtered and sold as meat. It's really a horrible thing for what, you know, next to us is probably this, you know, the second most family-oriented intellectual animal on the planet. You know, they have extra senses that we don't have. Like their sense of family is stronger than ours, and their intelligence is still being measured. It's just not there's just no reason for it. So we're going out there to educate you know, try to get more eyes of the world that, that this is just something that doesn't need to happen. So, and also, you know, captivity is just wrong. For an animal that's whole life is echolocation and sound, to be stuck in a cement hole where you're just suffering in complete silence is just insanity.
It's super depressing for me. I mean, I'm a lover of animals. Yeah, and things like that.
It's just rough. Bro. It's just rough. I'm not saying, and this, I'm not, like I said, I'm not the typical guy. I eat meat, you know, I have steak, you know, I'm not saying like, you know, I get it. But at the same time, there's certain things that, just don't make sense, you know? Yeah. And if it's a financial thing, these guys, if they're educated and given the resources, they can make more money doing tours year round, build their communities up, make money in the hotels, and make money for everybody, showing the people where these dolphins are, you know, 365 days a year, opposed to once a year slaughtering, you know, 1,000 animals for 10 guys to make some money, you know. So, and that's the point of my mission. Like, I'm not going out there power bombing fishermen. That's not going to help anybody. But, you know, drawing attention to it and the fact that I think I'm the first, you know, sports entertainment wrestler to take a hands-on approach to that. So I'm excited about it because I represent a different audience. You know, we're not the, you know, the tree huggers or the hippie types. You know, we're not. We're, most of us are normal, everyday people, and we're just saying that this is, you know, wrong is wrong, you know. But we meet and we have our own issues or whatever, but that's, you know, but at the same time, you can still do something and that's right. You don't have to be 99%, you know, you don't have to be vegan and all that other kind of stuff to go out and just say, hey, we probably shouldn't touch these, you know, these animals.
Right. You know, I've tried a couple occasions to watch the documentaries like that, but it's very hard for me. I change the channel when that Adopt a Pet commercial comes on with that Sarah McLachlan song.
Well,
like,
you know what, dude,
rough.
Because the Adopt a Pet commercial is too long.
Yeah.
Come on.
I know, like, it's like you're killing me.
And I'm the first one to say I will help out, I will donate. I will donate more if you just cut the commercial down. We get it.
I know. It's like torture.
That's the problem. Don't make it a sympathy thing. Don't make it a guilt thing. Make it a responsible thing. You know, and I always, that's one of my biggest bones with those type of things. I see that commercial, life changes. It was like back in the day with the Hungry Kids, what was it, Kelly Withers or whatever her name was.
Kelly Struthers. You know,
yeah. Kelly Struthers would come walking down way overweight in the third world country. Everyone's starving. It's rude. You know what I'm saying? It's rude, man. Like, you know that she has catering there. And
yep.
She's talking about, you know, like 10 cents a week or whatever to feed them. It's just wrong.
I know.
So,
God.
And yeah, I'm against that. It's just practical things for practical people. Like, just be, you know, just right is right. You don't have to be a diehard liberal and, you know, all that kind of other stuff. It's just something that I think is wrong.
It's common sense, basically. You know, it's just like,
yeah, that's
on.
All I'm preaching. Like, I'm not saying you got to change your life. We probably don't need to chop up dolphins and sell them as tuna.
No,
well, I'm gonna hope during football season you never utter the phrase, "I hope the Patriots slaughter the Dolphins."
Well, I don't, you know, slaughter would be, you know, I don't have to. The Dolphins are too busy picking on each other and that's what they don't have to worry about them on the field.
That's a John Martin reference.
You know, they can't even jog out in the field together as a team. So I'm not worried about that.
Well,
at all.
Maybe if the wrestling doesn't work out, I hear Adrian Hernandez is looking for a bodyguard.
Aaron Hernandez.
Whatever. how rude.
Yeah, he hasn't been a Patriot for almost 2 years now, so
I know.
And that's just bad, boom. Man. You know, that a guy with all those talents would make those kind of mistakes, or allegedly, you know, we don't know if the court do this, but that's an ugly aspect of being in the public eye like that. You know, it doesn't make any sense. There's no reason for that at all.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Let's bring this back to wrestling. One thing that always puzzled me about something that happened later on in your career, one of your latter runs, is how you lent. I'm not sure if it was your theme music or you lent the Funkadactyls to a debuting Xavier Woods, and then all of a sudden that just seemed like the most bizarre, like underwhelming kind of deal to me. Like, you just like lent them, and then all of a sudden that led to your, like, what was that how it was supposed to play out?
Honestly, I knew about as much as you guys did about the whole process, to be honest with you. And yeah. By that time, I was pretty frustrated, and the walls of communication had kind of broke down with me and creative. So, I saw it that day. I heard the rehearsal and started laughing. Like, I was running to the ring, like, nobody told me I had rehearsal, you know. And I remember Kofi laughing to death because I was, you know, acting like why is he doing my, you know. But, you know, Xavier is a great young talent, and you know, just unfortunate. I don't think that anybody really benefited from that particular that angle or whatever. You know, it was just confusing. I think for we just know the direction. I probably could have done a better job. I don't know. It's one of those things where, well, I mean, obviously led to, you know, the release or whatever. It's just it was just weird. That's one way I can describe it.
I think it's obvious nobody benefited from that angle.
Yeah, that was a strange time. That was definitely a strange time.
Although the only good thing was about it, I got to put hands on Truth and getting a chance to work him. And our pay-per-view match was one of my favorites that I had in a while. So, you know, I enjoyed that very much.
Yeah,
so,
Truth.
You know, but I didn't get a chance to have a big feud. And it was just people, I think the fans are confused. And honestly, I think they didn't know. I think they felt like I was robbed. I don't think they really felt like I was wrong and being angry. You know, it was just a weird kind of a deal, and just trying to make the best of the situation. But ultimately, the power that we didn't, you know, think I did a good job of it, and so that's where we ended up. But I don't make those decisions, and you know, I can't dwell on it. I went out and gave 100% every time I was out there, so you know, I can't trip on it.
That's true. And you know what? After the release, I mean, like, you're gonna start to have fun again, man. You're gonna be yourself. You got all these dates to make. You can make your own schedule. I mean, it's gonna be a cool time for you in your life, and you're gonna learn so much more on the road too, working different crowds and all these different athletes out there with different styles, not just WWE style. So I think there's a lot to look forward to right now in the life of Brodus Clay.
Yeah, I'm not too concerned about it. I'm excited.
Now, if the call comes for you to come back, I've heard, I've talked to some wrestlers in the past that say, in order to make it in this business in the WWE, sometimes you have to be a bit of an asshole. Do you think that rings true, or are you just going to stay yourself and be the nice, humble guy?
You know, I think that, you know, in being an ass when you've already made it and then you're bitter and you're a jerk to new guys coming up.
Yeah.
I guess so, yeah, but like, I've never done business that way, and I don't see why I wouldn't need to. You know, at the end of the day, if you're supposed to be there, you'll be there, just off your merit, your skills. And if not, then it's just not, I'm not supposed to be there. And if that's not what it's measured off on, I don't want to be a part of it anyway.
True states.
Too many other things in the world to do than have to worry about that. And I'm not going to worry about, you know, kissing ass or like burying guys, you know, or trying to, you know, if another guy's just got it, he's just got it, and it's your job to get him there, you know. Yeah. And that's the end of it. Like, I'm really focused on that kind of stuff. Like, I'm gonna be me. If someone deserves to get clowned or like talk sideways to, then they'll earn it. But I'm not just gonna do it just because it's because I think it's the right thing to do. That era of wrestling, I think, has died, because our locker room, I don't think, was anything like that. If anything, we were all supportive for each other.
That's cool.
And pulling for everybody. When one guy was doing well, we were happy. When somebody was going through a hard time, we rallied around him. It wasn't that cutthroat stuff I've heard about before. At least not in our not in the locker room that I was.
That's good to hear. That's really good to hear, actually.
Right. And obviously, we know that your schedule is pretty busy. Say after the 90 days or whatever, if TNA or a Ring of Honor or someone like that came a knocking, would Brodus Clay answer the door?
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
That's cool, and you know, we're gonna wrap this up in a couple seconds. I asked a few of the guys their opinion on this. TNA brought back the six-sided ring. How do you feel about the six-sided ring?
It's what made them different. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of a traditionalist. I kind of like the four-sided ring, because that's what I know. But watching AAA stuff, they use the six-sided ring. So if it makes a difference and builds viewers and builds ratings, then great.
Okay. Yeah,
if it hurts them, then bad. You know, either way, it doesn't matter to me, because I don't hit the ropes anyway. So I keep it in the middle. So.
Very true. Very true.
I know you were in a horror movie for WWE Films a few years back. Is acting on the table for Mr. Clay?
Yeah, I just got back from Los Angeles. I had a couple auditions out there, and I nailed one of them. So I got a project coming up, and I got some stuff going on. And I just signed with Stampede Management. And got a new agent, Brian Buck. So we got some things going on besides wrestling. So I have the freedom to do all that now. So I'm very excited. So I'd love to do some TV spots and, you know, knock out a couple movies. And at the same time, keep the ring rust off and have some fun.
Yeah, man, this is such positive stuff to hear. I mean, like, great days ahead for Brodus Clay. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, man. If you want to see Brodus,
thank you guys. I appreciate it.
Of course, man. If you want to see Brodus Clay live in the New Jersey area, check out Pro Wrestling Syndicate September 20th in Rahway, New Jersey. He's taken on Homicide. You're not going to see what you saw on TV. You're going to see Brodus Clay handle his business in the ring against one of the best in Homicide. It's going to be a trip. It's going to be great. Definitely check it out. Before we let you go, bro, anything else you want to plug?
No, just like stick with me on Twitter, man. Monsters BC. At Brodus Clay. Come check me out.
Excellent. Brodus, thanks again, man. We really appreciate it. And good luck with all the crazy stuff that you're doing.
Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate you guys. Be safe.
Go all right, Patriots. You too.
Hey, everyone. This is Bill Apter from OneWrestling.com. And this great Lanny Poffo poem, it's called The Living Legend. And we all know who the living legend is because he is the only living legend. And it's not Larry Zbyszko. So I figured, what would it sound like for the real living legend, Bruno Sammartino, to have read this Lanny Poffo poem? I think it would sound something like this. You know, once upon a wrestling ring, but not so long ago, Mr. Bruno Sammartino was the only name to know. He stood up to Buddy Rogers, and the Nature Boy went down. Less than 60 seconds later, Sammartino, that's me, wore the crown. He is a real Italian stallion. That's a fact you can't ignore. His career had more successes than Rocky I, Rocky II, Rocky III, and Rocky IV. The living legend lives again for every single fan. He's on the microphone each week right next to Vince McMahon. Doggone it, that's what I would have sounded like.
Dixieland, the world championship. The steel cage was the host of the war. Jeff Hardy, the charismatic enigma, takes on madness. Many moves, many close calls, and a massive whisper in the wind. The two men escape. EC3 interferes. It's a battle uphill, twisting fate. Dixie Carter fades. Jeff Hardy comes so close. Rockstar Spud inflicts a ladder crash and burn. The reign of Magnus begins. Magnus, I do not fear your reign, for I have an umbrella.
There you have it, an umbrella.
We sat through that 17 times.
I have an umbrella. Oh, my God. They need to piss test Jeff Hardy.
Someone's going to grow up, and Willow is going to be their version of the fucking Ultimate Warrior promos.
Yeah.
Where they make... I guess it made sense. He has an umbrella for his rain, but it's not that kind of fucking rain.
You know what they're going to say when they hear that? They're going to go, what's TNA?
Sorry, I had to turn that down.
Willow! Yes.
Willow!
I have an umbrella, but I don't open it indoors because that's bad luck.
Who thought that was a good idea? Whoever greenlit
Jeff.
Fucking Willow?
Jeff Hardy thought it was a good idea.
It has to be. It's the only way.
God. Next time I decide to try and make a joke during an interview, just turn my microphone off.
So
Brodus Clay.
I fucking bombed
Tony
so hard.
With a guest, Tony doesn't feel so bad anymore.
Well, it's like we switch roles.
Kevin
can't speak.
Fuck you, and you got the bomb.
You stutter through like the intro, I just fucking podcast cancered that up. Oof, the only time I spoke.
That was awesome. That was a great interview, though.
He was fun, man. Was a lot of
be
fun.
Sure to follow him on Twitter, at Brodus Clay is his handle. And who knows how long that's going to stay that way. He can change it whenever he wants. And as you heard in the interview, the Funkasaurus is extinct.
Breaking nice. News.
Woo! Yeah. Woo! We always get the scoop.
That's a scoop and a
half.
Why
is my
right
mic
there?
So loud? What the fuck?
Was this your first day?
Yeah, kind of.
It seemed Kevin's drunk. Matt's fucking...
Kevin's not drunk.
Bombing with jokes. It's Tony's first day.
Usually I'm drunk. He's bombing with jokes.
and Tony's just cancerous.
But Kevin's always said he's not the funny guy.
I'm not funny
show.
On this show.
Kevin takes this very serious.
I really do.
If you can go just back,
except for when he's watching the World Cup at the beginning of this show going, wait, what were we talking about?
I wasn't watching the World Cup. I was still on fucking Trash Bag Wrestlers nonsense.
Well, speaking of just incredible, he's going to be on an independent point of view tomorrow night with host
right,
John
yeah.
JP
on
Mayer.
Blog Talk Radio.
Just make sure you fucking hit the live button, you wizard.
I think he's gonna get some callers tomorrow.
Oh, he will. Oh, JP, if you're listening, you're gonna
get
some calls.
JP, your phone is ringing.
I think Willow needs to call in and talk to.
Oh, man.
Pete.
I'll reach out. I'll reach out.
And I already was on the Facebook. A couple of characters from the show might be calling in.
Nice. Ooh.
And I heard Scott Stapp is in town, so.
Oh, Creed. Yeah, they're playing.
You never know.
They're playing the Wellmont.
You could get a Creed.
Creed? Are they?
Yeah. Scott Stapp and Creed are playing
the
Wellmont.
Really?
Yeah. No, and they're not.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, that was believable.
Kevin's
I was trying to make it believable, so when one of us calls in as Scott Stapp tomorrow.
No, why do you have to fucking tell him we're going to call in as Scott Stapp?
This won't be posted till after his bedtime.
He'll be too busy beating his dog to listen to this.
You said dog. I did not know where that was going.
Hey, Craig Steele, you got a big match. Stop it! Stop it!
Yeah.
So do we plug
JP?
Brodus
don't
again?
Hit your dog, please.
Yes, please. Stop beating animals.
Brodus Clay will come to your house.
Yes. Oh, he will.
So you've never watched The Cove?
No.
It's fucked up.
I can't, dude. I can't do it.
You
either,
don't. Though. You don't see anything. Spoiler, I guess. I don't fucking know.
How long has this been
gives
around?
Gives a fuck.
This movie?
The Cove?
Yeah.
5-6 years.
All right. But they do this thing every year.
Yeah, there's got to be a rule. If a movie's more than 2 years old, fuck you. Who cares?
It's a documentary. It's real life. It's not like you're spoiling anything.
You don't see anything till the end. Mm. And the extent they go to put these cameras in place, like it's like fucking 007 Mission Impossible type shit.
I can't stand that stuff.
You could watch it up until the last, like, 3 minutes.
I can't.
Hi.
But there's nothing...
I'm White Lady. Don't you get tired of people beating dogs?
They have catering in Africa for Sally Struthers.
Pendulum has swung back to that side of the room.
Yes.
Didn't he call her... He called her Kelly something or other.
No, he said
Sally
Withers.
Kelly Withers, I think he said.
That was
awesome.
Great.
So Money in the Bank was Sunday.
Yes, it was.
And money.
Well, I don't even remember who he picked. I think Eddie.
I picked all the winners.
Did you?
Yes.
Okay, so Eddie.
Did you
was
pick
right.
Rollins?
Yep. My kid picked John Cena. He was so excited when he heard the next day that he won.
I think I said Bray Wyatt and then backtracked once I heard Eddie's thoughts.
Yeah. I picked the Usos because the Uso crazy movement is happening. Because
it's going to be a t-shirt.
Because it's going to be a shirt.
Isn't it already a shirt?
It's a shirt not made by a wrestling
not
company.
Not baby, baby brown baby.
Not baby, baby.
Not baby brown baby.
Not baby brown baby. Not baby, baby. Hey.
And did you notice they only do it when they do a dive? That's when they say it, right?
Yeah.
Crashing back.
Oh, the Ring of Honor.
Ooh, so crazy.
They're trying to get it over. It's just not
it's
working.
Awful. Dude, but that match was fantastic.
I love the Usos. And I love the Wyatts.
I think that they're... You had a problem with their music, though, didn't you?
What the fuck was that generic shit?
I didn't mind it.
They ruined it. They should have had the whole world in his hands harmonica style like they did on Raw.
Yeah, I mean... Like,
oh, I was like,
that
what?
Wasn't what they had on Raw?
No, last
week's Raw?
Week's Raw, it was all dark, and it was just the harmonica playing Whole World in His Hands.
Yeah.
And the two of them just stood there.
It was great.
Last night, Sunday night, what the fuck was that?
They came out to generic music.
It started out with the kid's voice.
It was the kid singing.
And then just went.
I thought that was some sort of weird generic Whole World in His Hand thing. I couldn't tell.
No, it was crap.
One way or the other.
They ruined it. They ruined
it. Crap. And the booking of that match was atrocious. I mean, the Wyatts should have at least won by DQ or won
the
belts.
Wait, you talking about the pay-per-view?
Yes. Where are you?
I disagree with you is what I'm saying.
With what?
With
their music?
With the way the match was booked.
They shouldn't... That's not what came out during the pay-per-view. They shouldn't have... The Usos shouldn't have won.
They got their heat back on Raw, though.
But they shouldn't have won. They could have kept that going. Like, a tag feud would have been great.
It's still going because Luke Harper pinned one of the Usos on Raw the next night.
Yeah, but it means less now after the Usos win.
I didn't get
clean.
That. I didn't get that. I thought the match was so good. Yeah, dude, they did the double splash finish on the off the top. It was an effective way. It wasn't. If it was one splash, all right, fine. Harper, but they went boom.
Yeah,
boom.
But that's a feud closer match.
Nah, but the Usos are hot and they have to. I mean, the babyface has got to win sometimes, you know.
But yeah, I'm just saying they could have won. There could have been a DQ, a screw job, just to further it along. You don't
date. Is that how you want to kick off your opening match to a pay per view with a DQ finish?
Well, then that's true too.
They could have put the women out there first.
Yeah, there was two of them, two of those matches. Yeah,
how the fuck they booked two women matches on a pay-per-view? Oh,
because Eddie, I'm starting to believe Eddie's point of how they already have our money. Yep. They can put whatever they want on the show.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know that Summer Rae and Layla were even in a feud, to be honest with you.
No, they're fighting over Fandango.
I didn't know that.
And then we had...
it's been a while since they've been back to it, that's why. Dude, what are you doing? You're killing me over there. It's you with the laptop.
It's not even plugged in.
Well, because you keep touching the thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, do I really?
No, you're touching the plug.
The plug to the thing. All right, anyway.
Oh, because you don't have your headphones on. You don't even know.
No, I was trying
to find that's the sound. Yep, there it is.
Damian Sandow had a match with Adam Rose. Both guys are dead in the water.
Now, you know what?
No one cares about Adam Rose.
Damian Sandow's kind of got something
going. I agree. I don't want to jump, though.
No, I'm not jumping, but
he does
Adam
now.
Rose, Adam Rose is definitely in the toilet.
Done.
Definitely.
Yes.
Done.
And that's what really kills me because I love... I think he has such a natural charisma about him. And the fact that he's... I mean, I wasn't expecting him to be in the main event already or anything like that, but I'm starting to agree with you guys, but I don't know why.
It's done.
Yeah, it's over.
Because they're forcing it down our throats. When Michael Cole's like, this is great, automatically you're like, nah, this isn't great. It's not great. It's so forced. Like, sing the song. When Adam Rose debuted in NXT to a real song that they couldn't use because of copyright and the crowd sang along... That was organic. Now they're forcing it. It's just bad. It's so bad.
Well, I also, and I didn't follow NXT with Emma, but they say her gimmick in while she was there was like, she was like, I don't know, tripping all the time. And now when she came up, she's just like a goofy dancer.
And a kleptomaniac.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that.
We'll get to that. And it's hard to talk about Money in the Bank without jumping to Raw the next night. Because I forget what the fuck the point was.
Before you, what about the fucking Daniel Bryan Bo Dallas thing? Did anyone see that?
Yeah, I saw it.
That goes to show me. All right, here's the thing. When Triple H was injured, when Austin was injured, there's no way they would have busted their nut and put them on a pre-show, A. And B, they wouldn't have put them on a pre-show with a fucking stupid angle like that. Oh, you're just a boner.
Bo, leave. Ugh. Like, go away.
Bad. You know, it's a shame, but Brian is going to get lost in the shuffle.
I'm starting to believe that is going to be true.
Yep. Just listen
especially
to me.
Especially now the fact that he's probably going to be out a lot longer.
No, because John Cena already told him he's going to get a match.
In what, February?
Dun, 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 dun.
That's not going to happen.
Of course it's not going to happen because Cena's going to wind up hitting up Brock Lesnar.
Well, we talked about that last week.
Yeah. That's why we predicted, well, that's why Eddie predicted John Cena was going to go over.
But we are digressing. We're talking about Money in the Bank.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, the contract match was awesome.
Of course it was.
Except for the ending.
Yeah, yes. It was kind of like all that was for nothing.
I agree. And
but
Kevin's right because you can't talk about that without talking about Raw.
I know. It's
and how
tough.
It played out.
It's tough going in reverse and stuff like that. But we'll talk. I was ranting and raving and a lot of people agreed. Some people disagreed with me about how, listen, I get why they did what they did. I understand that they're the dastardly heels trying to – do the cheap heelish way thing, but not when that match was so good and these guys worked so hard just to have that finish. And like I was watching it like at home. I can't imagine what the live crowd was feeling. I'm watching it at home and I'm just like,
that sucked. Let me get in your head. I felt enough is enough at that point. Isn't that how you felt?
I felt like I didn't care. I was like, I was so into this match the entire way through. Rollins could have won, which we all thought that he would have. And it could have been some sort of cheat method. But that was just so, like, deflating. And it was so slow. And it was Kane. And, like, enough with fucking Kane,
like,
for Christ's sake.
Like when Sandow won.
I don't remember.
It was when Cody Rhodes was climbing the ladder and Sandow turned on him and he just snuck up there and got it. They didn't have to have Kane come out to save the day.
And a lot of people are like, no, that's what you're supposed to do with the heel that makes you hate him. And I like I said, I get that. I get the characters. I get the authority. But they've been doing it. It left you deflated. It left you with nothing left inside to care about anything going forward.
Because they were doing that with Daniel Bryan for so long. Then people, like we talked about it, like some people stopped caring about Daniel Bryan. It's going to be the same shit. It's like insert new person into the story, and there you go.
Yeah.
It's just a continuation of the same shit.
But this is all before we saw the awesomeness that was Raw.
Okay, we'll get there. Great match. Terrible ending in my book.
Yeah. Agreed.
Rusev,
right result. Don't get me wrong. Terrible.
Right
ending.
Result. Terrible way to end it. Like I said, if you want to do a cheap Rollins finish, that's fine. But that was just not the one to do, in my opinion. And
agreed.
A lot of people say don't pick on something unless you have something better to offer. I don't really. But that was so bad.
Fuck that. Because if you know something's bad, you could say like, oh, I don't know what's better.
But
I just
what are you
know
contributing to? What are you contributing to?
I didn't
make
realize
it
you had a contract with WWE and you were a fucking writer.
No, but
tell them to pound salt, dude.
Fair enough.
Can't have a fucking
maybe
opinion.
I will.
You are a broadcast journalist, sir.
That's right. Maybe
fucking
doing
this long enough
salt.
That your opinion means something.
Fucking Justin Anderson.
But I...
asshole.
He's a broadcast journalist.
Yes, he is.
What else?
Rusev and Big E.
Shrunken Beetlejuice head.
That was another good match.
I really liked it.
It seemed to me like it was a little similar to the last one, but probably up a notch.
It was really well. It told a great story. And for like while I was watching, I'm like, holy shit, he's gonna break that fucking move. He's gonna do it.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I was getting into that. I was like, this is good. What they're doing with Rusev lately. I'm on board with now.
Which is so weird with those two guys, because when I see them do promos, when I see them wrestle jobbers, I want nothing to do with either one of them.
At all.
But when they wrestle each other in a match on pay-per-view,
chemistry.
I'm like, all right.
They have it.
I can get into this.
That's one guy that Big E, I feel, has had great matches with.
I fucking hated his Martin Luther King Jr. fucking speech
that's
going into
gotta
the match.
Go. That's
see, I think
go.
It will go, it and we'll get into that.
Well, I think he's done with Rusev.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see where that, especially now that, whatever.
So now he can go back to teaming with Sin Cara.
You know that was such a Vince McMahon gimmick to
Vince
have
McMahon?
Him talk like this. You're going to talk like a black advocate. Like Martin Luther King.
Because
that's the only black advocate I know.
You have a dream.
You say, I have a dream.
All right, see, I had that on audio only. I didn't watch. What was his face? Like, what was like his small face mannerisms like?
Like a ventriloquist dummy.
Did he have the flag? Did he have the flag in the promo?
I don't remember.
No, I don't think so.
But it was
karate,
bad.
Karate's chopping the air with the flag.
It was a mix between Obama and Martin Luther King.
Did you when you would go bowling? Right?
What Barack
when you would
cooking.
Go bowling.
When you would
I can't
go
wait
bowling,
to hear this transition.
And you could put your name in there. Did anyone else put Malcolm in and then hope they got a strike?
No, I put Degeneration.
Nice, I like that.
Yeah, strike.
This fucking, it was just bad.
It was bad.
I was fucking taking a shit, and I brought my laptop in with me. And I was like, I can't.
You couldn't differentiate between taking the shit and watching the
show
at that point.
It was bad.
You're like,
wait,
what's happening?
Bad.
Did I just shit on my laptop?
Did I just shit on my own lap? What is this?
That's not how the butt works.
And we're not saying anything about shit and Big E being black, so relax.
Oh, I thought Matt was.
See,
he's a fucking...
Thought never crossed my
he's
mind.
He's a fucking walking piece of shit.
No, Big E, he has so much potential, and then just the writing for him is terrible.
Which terrible! 4 months ago, he was teaming with Cena in the main event.
Yeah. And they just, they give up so fast on these people, and they don't let them build.
These people. Because you know what? They don't, it's all about the now. There's no building towards the future.
No patience.
It's all now.
They're like
gotta be
fucking
now.
Children that want candy at the mall, and your mom's like, no, after dinner. I want my second candy now. That's how Vince McMahon is. I want results.
And then
I want results.
And then Vince McMahon goes, if you don't like it, we're going home. But you never go home.
You never
you
go
You always
home.
Just get the fucking nonsense just thrown in your face.
Yes.
You dingles.
I want candy.
It's true. They want results now, now, now.
I
the
fucking
want candy. Layla Summer Rae thing?
I got a hand on the tail. Hey.
Just fucking put it on toilet paper.
I just heard Newton Day.
Someone's got to make a video of Vince McMahon singing I Want Candy.
Go ahead, Matt. We digress.
No, that's, you're good.
No, Layla and Summer Rae.
Should have just been on a piece of toilet paper so you could wipe your ass with it because it was fucking awful.
I think that's the one part I didn't actually watch.
I missed it, too. I fast-forwarded it.
There was one gimmicky moment in the match, though, that I got a kick out of when Summer Rae had put her foot up on the rope and was choking Layla. And, like, she kind of, like, started rubbing her leg and Fandango just was, like, staring at it.
Busted a nut.
It was, like, that was the kind of moments that match needed more of, not just two of them fighting and him just standing there. It was worthless otherwise.
All right, so the main event.
Yeah, we can just go right to the main event.
Cena wins. We all knew that was going to happen. It was what it was. I hate how, okay, I understand they don't want people to blade anymore. That's fine. I'm sure all these guys are medically tested. I'm pretty sure Randy Orton doesn't have any hep or anything.
Unless he got it from his dad.
Show the blood.
They did.
Barely. They cleaned him off, though.
Live. They showed
the blood.
Well,
they cleaned him off
first. It was very visible live.
But they cleaned him off first. They just couldn't run up a ladder and clean him off. They cleaned him off. He was out of the match for like a good 4 minutes cleaning him off.
No, I thought it was pretty quick.
I didn't notice
whatever
that.
It was, just let it go. It's a fucking
let
money
it
in the
go,
bank.
Let it go.
I mean, if it was pay per view,
yeah, which
it was.
Like,
well, which it was, but you know what I mean. Like, it's not. It's WWE Network pay per view, so it still has their name like directly.
It's blood. Who cares?
I get it.
When
like,
you were
I'm agreeing
a kid,
with you,
I'm sure you've got a fucking bloody nose before, and you've seen it. You know what it looks like. It's there.
Dude, that's like doing a disservice to children by saying you get hit with the ladder and you don't bleed. That's when something's wrong.
Yeah.
That's when you got to go to the doctor.
Okay.
Like, all right.
When I was a kid, that was the most exciting thing. I remember all the WrestleManias, but when fucking Slaughter busted Hogan open at 7, like that always stuck with me. That was always like the coolest fucking thing. When Bulldog and Brett,
Brett
fucking is just wearing the Crimson Mask.
Oh, that's
awesome.
Hogan busted Piper open Brett. Against Macho Man.
Piper Brett, too, at WrestleMania.
Come on,
Brett
Austin.
Austin.
Austin Brett. That
was a t-shirt.
That would not have been as iconic if he didn't bleed.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Do you remember the it was a boot camp match with Slaughter and Hogan at the Garden.
And Hogan was dressed in like fatigues.
Fatigues and
wait, Hogan and Slaughter had a boot camp match?
It was something. I don't know if it was called a boot camp match, but it was definitely a no like.
It was probably a
no
Desert
bullshit.
Storm match.
Desert Storm match. Desert Storm match.
Nice.
That's what it was. And that match was fantastic. One of them was bust. Dude, Sergeant Slaughter threw a fireball on Hulk Hogan's face. Like why can't.
Dude. Did you ever see the old boot camp matches with Pat Patterson?
Yeah.
And when he takes off the boot and he just busts Slaughter open with the heel of the boot?
Absolutely.
Nuts.
There's a time and a place for blood, and
exactly.
I think it could still be relevant.
And like a Money in the Bank match? Like that makes perfect
That's
sense.
When.
Especially with the money. Biggest goal, the belt, championship, whatever the fuck you want to call it, hanging
yeah,
there.
Absolutely.
You're going to bleed. You're going to fucking break bones, all that jazz. So why not just let him fucking bleed and tell the story?
You Seriously. Know what I liked about both matches? There were always moments where no matter who was going up there, it was like, I can see this guy winning. For Christ's sakes, when Kofi was about to grab the briefcase.
That scared the shit out of me.
I was like, oh my God, they're going to give Kofi a push? This is
that
crazy.
That scared the shit out of me.
You know what, though? I would have been okay with that because it would have been out of the blue.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
I agree.
Did he do some fucking orangutan shit and walk on his hands?
And when Seth Rollins took the bump on like the ladder that was set up like
and
a
his
scaffold,
head hit, and then his and head
he,
went back
and he
hit,
bounced, yes,
and his head hit the ladder
Dude,
on the.
Dude, a lot of great spots. I don't know who was going up the ladder in the main event, but then all of a sudden, retard started crab walking under the ladder.
Oh yeah,
I was like, all right, cool, but get up and get them. They're gonna win.
Dude, there was a time where Sheamus in that match was like had a moment where I'm like, is Sheamus gonna freaking win
right.
this fucking thing?
They booked that. Like, pretty well.
Here's,
I mean, the match itself, I don't think...
it wasn't as good as the briefcase.
Obviously.
One.
I mean, look at the guys in that match. I mean, and I was going into the main event thinking, well, these guys, give them a chance. These guys have been around the block a long time. They could put together a pretty good match. Orton, Kane, Cena.
And any one of them winning was believable, honestly.
Yeah.
Well, throughout the match, I thought, not going
but
into
the thing
it.
That spoiled is we all knew Cena was getting it. Like, we all knew.
Well, here's what kills it for me, right? What did they do to the belts... where they had, wasn't Sheamus and somebody else hanging from each of the belts.
They had it like this weird carabiner, like a weird like harness carabiner thing that was like, when you noticed it, when Cena pulled it off for the first time, it was like an enforced like steel like.
Yeah, you know, the hook. Yeah, but the belts themselves must have been like glued together or something because dudes were hanging from the belts and they weren't coming. Like 10 little fucking snaps is not going to hold up a 300-pound wrestler.
They were probably hanging from the metal part.
I think they were hanging from
you
the
You heard
metal.
What Broda said before, how he had to go out out and rehearse. Like, I'm sure they fucking went and did that spot like 100 times.
No, but it's not that. But it's like, how do you hang two guys off of two belts? Like, what the?
I think they were just good at what they did to make you believe that they were hanging from the belts.
They worked you.
Fair enough. Because even when Cena took it down,
he's holding the whole thing like it's like a Dungeon Master's keys.
Yes, exactly.
That's what it looked like.
Look at me again with the keys to the kingdom. Once again, I'm the guy. But that's all just to set up Cena Brock.
Now,
and that's the smart thing would be Cena Brock, and then Brock passes it on to a younger guy.
Daniel Bryan.
Or Cesaro.
Do any of you have concern about the amount of heavyweight championships that John Cena is accumulating?
No, because it's a different time.
I don't care.
It's a different time. Look at how many world championships Edge had.
But it's not fair to say Cena's the greatest champion of all time.
No, definitely not.
Not right.
Not it's yet, not anyway. Right. Not yet. You give it another 5 years, that might be a valid argument.
I really can say this.
He's been doing this 11 years now, and he's been winning championships for at least 6 or 7 of those years.
He's been on top longer than anyone.
And he ever. In an era where they have two separate world championships that are both included in the same statistic.
Yeah. True. Different belts.
Different belts, but they're both considered world championships.
Yeah, you know what? Like I said, 5 more years... You probably will be able to put him on a level with a Flair or a Hogan.
He's already on that level to me. Not in terms of greatest champion, but in terms of
numbers,
superstar.
Sure. Well, then again, Hogan's numbers are not that big, but Hogan was also in an era.
He may have more championships in WCW than he does in WWE.
Yeah, but those championships in WCW are short. Hogan exactly. Still has a couple of title reigns that were long very early on.
No, I get it, and I'm just saying in terms of the numbers wise, like. Oh, yeah, Hogan, if you ask me who's the better champion, Hogan or Cena, Hogan. If you ask me who's the better champion, Hogan or Cena or Flair, I'm saying Flair.
Right.
If you ask me who's the better champion, Cena or Bret Hart, I'm still saying Bret Hart. And Bret Hart's championships are way less than Cena's.
He had the both titles 6 times, Hogan.
Hogan?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
6 WCW, 6 WWF, WWE, whatever the fuck they call it.
I'm just afraid that once Cena's done...
Hogan was the first WWE champion, by the way.
Yeah.
He had the belt when they switched the name.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah.
And now you know.
When Cena's done...
Fact check that.
No, it's true. When Cena's done, who is there? Everyone's
you
on
know
the
what,
same
there's,
level.
There's so...
There's a lot...
Cena's got to have children someday.
Roman...
There's a lot.
Roman Reigns, Bray Wyatt, like any of those guys. That was the great thing about the match. Yeah, Cena, but anybody in there could have easily, I could see him with the belts. Anybody, honestly.
They have such a strong core of young guys. It just
except Del Rio.
It's a matter. He's not young. He's like fucking 40.
Yeah, he's close.
It's a matter of what they do with them. Like, yeah. The potential with Rollins, Ambrose, that's just exciting to me.
I'm getting more excited about Ambrose than I am about
Raw.
Ambrose is fucking nuts.
And we can jump right into Raw.
Let's do it.
Fucking top to bottom. Eddie said it on Facebook last night. I know Kevin agreed. And, you know, before the show started, we talked about it. Just an unbelievable Raw.
A complete 180 from the week before, I'll tell you that much.
God damn, it was.
To come out of Money in the Bank and just go with that, it's...
Well, Money in the Bank also set all these stories in motion, which is what a pay-per-view should do.
Right.
Yeah. You end stories and you start new ones.
And that's exactly what they did. Someone put Kevin Matthews had a post about how much he enjoyed Raw, and someone was like, no, what do you mean? It was just all returns and hot-shotted angles. And Kevin Matthews was like, what the fuck are you talking about, hot-shotted angles? Stories are supposed to end and new ones are supposed to begin. Like, what are you talking about, you fucking moron? And that's exactly what Raw was, a complete top-to-bottom, fantastic fucking show.
It reminded me of the old days when I used to love Raw.
When you would get at least 2 or 3 of those a month.
Yeah, at least. Yeah, it was
and,
top to bottom great.
Maybe not the most important thing, but this is the first time I really watched Stardust. Fucking awesome.
I told you.
Fucking
I'm digging Cody Rhodes. Give him time.
It's like a 180 on his personality.
Yeah.
Like he inherits the whole gimmick, and it just works so well.
He's a team player, man.
It's perfect.
Even like the Rollins-RVD match was fucking great.
It was awesome.
It was great.
Yes. Yeah, they had time. That's why they gave them time.
I missed the Cena Authority.
I miss him.
Thing at the beginning.
That was fun.
And I heard it was good too.
It was worth it alone for Stephanie McMahon trying to dance.
Well, I heard she was doing the "My time is now," da, da,
da, throwing the hand up like a wigger.
Oh, and then Triple H kind of bashing him a little bit,
and
talking like
Olibonics, like a white kid.
Yeah, but that was great.
But the good thing was Cena did what the face is supposed to do: knock it off, or I'm going to knock it off.
Yeah, yes, you know? He no-sold it.
I actually enjoyed that opening segment very much.
It wasn't Daniel Bryan just sitting there staring at him with doe eyes. It was actually a comeback. Yeah, it's like watch yourself. You know who used to do that? Piper was a fucking king of doing that.
Yes,
shit.
Yes, he was.
When he would, like, somebody would get up, he'd be like, "You sit down and we're gonna interview." Like,
yeah,
just like, this is my shit. Shut up.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Exactly.
Awesome. Awesome. Awesome.
So there was the opening segment on Raw. There was a lot of great stuff.
I mean, I think we can all agree the brightest spot on Raw. I mean, we want to wait.
We can keep going.
The brightest spot on Raw to me was the Jack Swagger.
Yes.
Rusev.
A perfectly booked, old school. It got the crowd going.
And you know what made me very happy about that? It's because I thought, like, Rusev was like, who's going to be the next whatever guy that I was like thinking, all right, Mark Henry, Big Show, Great Khali.
Yeah.
And then they bring out Jack, in which I probably should have expected in hindsight, but just bringing out Jack Swagger and the crowd going nuts.
But
and,
you didn't expect it, and that's what made it great.
Yes. And that was absolutely fantastic. And that's, like I said before, I hate seeing Rusev in promos. I hated seeing being. I never wanted to see Rusev get his ass kicked more than I wanted to see Jack Swagger beat the fucking shit out of him.
I was going for it. I was like, oh, this is great. This is great.
But then, if I had one complaint about it, it was the runoff after two hip tosses, as opposed to like punches or body slams or.
Well,
he just arm dragged him twice.
He was being out wrestled. He was frustrated. He's like, I can't get close enough to this guy to hit him.
Who was it? I heard somewhere like recently. It might have been watching one of those Legends of the Ring on the network. Like the babyface is never supposed to throw a punch unless they're on their comeback and they've been frustrated for the entire match because the heel's been cheating.
Well, tell that to Austin.
Well, Rusev made the move at him, so your natural reaction is to defend yourself is to throw a punch, so I don't totally agree with that.
You rarely see Cena throw a punch.
Unless they're booing yaying.
That's true, but that's like in the midst of a match. That's true.
Dude,
but that was great.
Pop that Swagger got, and I hope it carries over. I hope it wasn't just a Northeast crowd sort of deal.
The Northeast is the smarter
and
part of the country.
And this brings me to another question. Remind me not to forget the question that I have later on after we're done with Raw.
It just makes me happy that Swagger is in like a good position again.
Hopefully.
I liked Swagger when he won the world title, but they shit the bed with him. They just buried
him.
They
always shit the bed.
I don't expect Swagger to get the better end of this feud in the long run because it seems like they have big plans for Rusev. But I feel like if this gets more good pay-per-view matches out of Rusev, I'll be okay with it, and as long as Swagger stays relevant after the fact.
Yeah.
But hopefully the crowd just gets really behind Swagger, and hopefully, well, never mind. I'm not going to say hopefully WWE sees that, because they won't. But
they'll pretend not to.
Yeah. But I love that part of Raw.
Yeah.
Easily my favorite part.
I'm not happy that Wade Barrett's going to be out for a while.
Well, that's his fucking luck.
I know.
What was it? Raw? Remember we watched that where he hurt himself right before Mania 29, I think?
I think it was something like that.
And he was outside cursing because he knew it. He's like,
he went right over the top and he fucking landed all funky.
Yep, he knew it.
His fucking luck just
You think
sucks.
It's luck or you think he's just injury prone?
It's just bad luck.
Are
people really injury prone?
Ask Ken Anderson.
You think so?
I think it goes
Ask
not
Rey Mysterio.
Just, I think it goes outside of wrestling and sports in general. Yeah. I mean,
there's certain guys that just can't stay on the field.
You can't.
Is it their bodies?
It's their bodies. It's
genetics.
It's the whole nine.
Thank you for what you guys did to your bodies.
I mean, you can't overcome it no matter what you do. If it's not A, it's B. And if it's not B, it's C. And it's so forth and so on. And before you know it, you're fucking an afterthought. You're on a fucking Legends of Wrestling show talking about what could have been.
Right.
Hey, there's a lot of interesting guys on that wrestling show.
Don't get me wrong. There are. But, I mean, Barrett he's got future champion written all over him.
He does.
He's just got to stay healthy.
Exactly.
But you know what?
This is his second major injury?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That's not. I won't run the book off yet.
But he's going to be out for a few months. Like, they're already saying it's pretty serious.
It's a dislocated, discolated shoulder.
It's a discolated.
Yeah, but
shoulder.
When you're taking bumps and you're landing on your back, like, your shoulder goes.
He's going to have to start bumping sideways like Cena and Flair.
Yeah, but the thing about this is now Cesaro's chance to take that belt in the Battle Royal.
Ooh.
It'd be smart for them to put it on him.
It's the only real option they have. Who else do they have?
Heyman will have the world champion and the Intercontinental champion.
Yeah.
That'd be a big feather in his cap.
It would be.
So, what else happened before we get to the finale?
Wyatt's Usos Sheamus.
Yes.
Great match.
Was good.
Another good match.
Really good match.
They got the heat back.
Yeah, they did get their heat back.
Kevin's boy made his return.
The Miz.
Yes!
I like The Miz, man. Don't shit on The Miz.
I like heel Miz.
I fucking hate heel The Miz.
Is fine.
I loved it.
Heel Miz is fine.
First of all, don't ever brag that you're in the fucking Marine. You Why look not? Like an idiot.
How many people in those stands are in a movie?
He's supposed to brag about shitty
things. I think that was the
point.
Like, people know it's shitty, and he was bragging about it.
And I had I was so happy to see him back. I called it. I'm like, please be Miz. Please be Miz. He came out, and I'm like, you know what? I'm pretty sure someone's going to come out and destroy him in about 2 seconds.
Yep.
And then the fact that if it was Jericho and Miz, that's fine. But then it led to Jericho Wyatt, which I'm excited about. Yes. But the fact that it immediately made Miz an afterthought again.
Miz is old. He's been an afterthought since he lost the title to Cena like 2 years
but
ago.
When you have hopes about him you get repackaged. And it looked like Miz was getting repackaged as a top heel bragging. Like, he came out in like a white suit. I was like, all right, cool. Miz is going to be back. And
yeah,
be okay.
That's not the first time you've seen him repackaged like that.
Yeah, but not as Flair's protege either.
Is that what they're doing?
No. That's what they were trying to do.
No, they tried to.
They tried to do that before he left for the Marine, though.
He gave him his figure four.
Yeah, all right.
He still doesn't know how to do it.
I didn't think that was ever coming back. But don't bring this guy back just to make him irrelevant for a feud, which will be awesome. But I don't think it'll be as awesome as people think
I think The Miz deserved
better than
what
he got
gotten.
Last
yeah.
night. I thought, listen, if it, like I said, it's 1 week. If it comes back, I think Miz has more left in the tank as a feud with someone than Jericho.
And would it have killed Jericho to like wear a Shining Wizard shirt?
Yeah. See, that's another thing.
Fucking prick.
You're really fucking hung up on that, huh?
No, I'm not hung up on it. Why don't you roll with it though, instead of being fucking?
I could, but the fucking we got an interview like 4
fucking
hours
Killer
before
Kowalski
our show.
Kayfabe over here.
Jesus Christ! Leave the
I'm
fucking
pissed that he's
guy
not wearing
alone.
Our shirt. Waited outside fucking 8 care. Hours at Dingbats to give him the shirt.
Dingbats and Clifton, Jericho.
There you go.
Cares. He was a great guest.
On Mother's Day, Kevin's mother's still crying over this
That's
shit.
That's right. You owe my mom an apology, Chris Jericho.
Yeah. Better be in your fucking book.
You better call his mama.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I can't get behind. I don't like The Miz. I think he's fucking awful. I think he's hokey. I think he's like fucking too real world MTV bullshit.
Get past it, dude. He main evented a WrestleMania.
So did fucking Bundy, and now he looks like a fucking question mark.
What? Bundy was awesome.
He was awesome, but he main evented Mania, and then the next year he's fucking squishing a midget in like the third match.
Dude, we talk about this every time Jericho comes back. His job is too transparent. As soon as he comes back,
he's
we
in the Foley
know
role.
Bray Wyatt's going over him. So that doesn't benefit Bray Wyatt as much as everyone thinks it will.
Nope.
Will it make for some entertaining promos back and forth? Will it draw money? Yeah, probably. But at the end of the day, does it help Bray Wyatt get back to where he should already be? No, it won't.
And they shit the bed with Jericho with Fandango.
Yeah, they
did. That's Eddie's pet peeve.
Yeah, they did.
They did. Just
yeah, but
match.
I don't think Bray Wyatt and Fandango are on the same level.
Fandango could have been on the same level.
Not yet.
Give it time.
Yeah.
Talk to me next year.
Yeah.
I say that every year about someone.
Believe that.
Talk to me next year.
What else? Sandow or Kofi.
Kofi
beats Cesaro during a fucking commercial break.
Wait, I missed
and,
that.
Oh, stick your fucking app up your asshole.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ.
You know why? Because they knew the main point was after.
I get
no, no, no,
it, but
you know Cesaro got hurt.
Yeah, the eye.
He scratched his eye. Maybe that happened during commercial and they decided to cut it short.
No, because they hype the app. I get it. You're trying to be like it's fucking technology savvy and everything.
Do they still tell?
But 3 hours of Raw is too long to begin with, and now I gotta fucking. You want me to watch something on my phone? You're crazy.
Don't end matches during commercial break, you motherfuckers.
Do they still tout?
I agree.
No, they don't.
No, I think tout is dead.
How come we can see their failures before they see their failures? We see all their failures
before
they do.
Because they're afraid to say anything to McMahon.
Because Mondays and Tuesdays they can fill arenas and they don't give a fuck. And like it's been brought up before, they already have our money.
That's true.
And we're talking about it.
Okay, well let me get back to this. Was Money in the Bank worth $10 or the $50 that somebody who didn't have the network would have paid for it?
I'd say somewhere in the middle, because there was a lot of throwaway bullshit that really doesn't belong on a pay-per-view.
But it clearly wasn't a $10 pay-per-view.
Meaning that no. It should have been a little more?
It could have been like old-school $30 pay-per-view.
Well, like my argument was when the network started that all the pay-per-views were just going to be like $10 worth of action.
It's going to get to that point.
I don't know, man. The pay-per-views have not been bad. I don't think there's been a bad pay-per-view since they started on the network.
No, but that's because there's been a lot of like two or three matches on the card are really good, and a lot of their wrestlers.
They're trying to get more subscribers.
You know what it is? Really you know what it is, too? Yeah. I think the wrestlers are stepping their game up to make matches that you would have low expectations of be better.
I'm surprised they're motivated to do that, considering they don't even know what the fuck they're getting paid
for
to do it
their
now.
Paper bonus, pay-per-view yeah. bonuses.
Like, oh, did they get them for Mania yet?
I don't know.
They don't even know what the deal is yet for the network.
Wait, was Brodus in the Battle Royal?
Yes.
Yes.
We should have asked him.
Well, we didn't think about it.
So. I know.
But
I think
a lot of it is the matches on the show exceeding our low expectations.
Mm-hmm. Well, look who they got. They got basically four.
Did I say exceeding?
I understood what you were saying.
Okay.
.com.
They have four guys that carry these pay-per-views. Four guys.
Tony, Cena? Eddie, Matt, Kevin.
No, there four guys that you know you're going to get a good match out of. Not us.
Oh.
They have Bray Wyatt. They have Dean Ambrose. They have Seth Rollins. They have Roman Reigns.
Now, what do you mean carrying?
To carry a pay-per-view? Where did you come up with that?
Those are the guys.
What do you mean Cena, carrying, though?
It's Cena. It's Orton.
I'm talking about match quality.
It's Triple H
Stephanie.
No,
yeah,
I'm talking about match quality.
Like, as much as I don't want to give them, like, Triple H and Batista and Orton, like, that does, like, the Shield can't pull that off with, like, Triple H and Kane and... fucking Shane McMahon. I don't know. Like, it doesn't work.
They did. They pulled it off. And when they battled the fucking Evolution.
They're right. They pulled off with Evolution. And I think that's a credit to those guys. I don't think they could have pulled it off with, like, Triple H and two other fucking bozos.
But I think those guys are the core guys that you know you're going to get a good match no matter what they do.
I think you're selling the other guys short, though. I think you're selling Batista and Orton short.
They needed Batista, Orton, and Triple H to gain credibility. That's what they needed.
Right. Yeah.
They needed that big win over big names, and boy, did they get it.
But you said it yourself. Batista was the best guy that WWE's had for a decent run.
He was starting to look good at the end of his run. He really was. But I'm talking match quality-wise on pay-per-views. You're going to see the best action with those guys. A close couple second is probably the Usos. And the tag team, the Wyatt.
Whenever Ziggler can find his way onto a pay per view,
yeah.
Ziggles, poor Ziggles.
Poor Ziggles.
He looked good in the ladder match too.
Of course,
he looked good on Raw too. Even him getting thrusted into the Fandango Layla Summer Rae thing, like
crowd bought it.
At least he had there's something for him.
Yes, even though it's like the worst fucking thing ever.
But it's something for him.
The big Val Boski's been thrusted into the
maybe he gets on TV every week, and maybe now him and Summer Rae are like a fucking huge thing, and then she becomes like a mega cunt.
Maybe.
And she's fucking like, she grabs Cesaro by his dick and punches Heyman in the face, and Ziggler's a super heel, and I don't know.
I see all that happening.
It's just something for him to do.
True, but then again, you look at 3MB. Okay, they had something to do. They were on TV every week for like months, and then all of a sudden, they're almost all released.
They're a one-man band
fucking
again.
Feud with the Mexicans and the midget.
Conquistadors.
Ugh.
They should bring back the Mexicos.
It was probably the most...
Consistent
storyline in WWE from Mania until they released everybody.
And now one of the most consistent storylines is the Summer Rae Layla feud, if you think about
that's
it.
That's it.
Wow. And it makes sense.
You just blew my mind.
And it makes sense.
We just got a great Raw, and we're still looking for things to bitch about.
I thought that, too.
Yeah, no, Raw was amazing.
Because you know what it is? Because we're all of us want... We want that Raw every week.
We know where it's going.
Now we know. Like next week, like what are we gonna get?
Some shit.
Is it gonna be like a fucking mixed tag match? Where
what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do with yourself?
We're jaded.
Alrighty.
And I think, and I said this too, that part of me is blinded by still the fan in me wanting just to be biased towards the guys that I like, and that's why the Miz segment was probably better than I'm giving it credit for, just because I'm such a huge Miz guy that. Mm-hmm. It's like throwing me off as a fan and not as like an open-minded, like wrestling, whatever I am.
Yeah.
Dude.
So,
wrestling dude.
True.
Dude.
Okay. Moving on.
The closing. Is that what we got left?
AJ comes back and
she
beats
Paige.
Oh,
yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah, that's pinned Paige.
She beat her.
They did like a double title.
Yeah, for the belt.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
What the hell was I doing during this?
That was pretty clever too. Paige was saying, "You're not gonna rope me into what I got you. Like, you're not gonna pay me back for what I did to you," sort of deal. And then she ends up getting roped into a title match, and AJ beats her.
Am I?
Yes.
Maybe I'm the only one. I don't. Paige in NXT hasn't lived up to what she's capable of.
Of course.
It hasn't.
You know what? None of them have. That
transferred?
No, it hasn't.
Only the Wyatts.
Cesaro.
Remember how excited we were about how we thought this was a new dawning for new talent?
And they're all bombing.
Paige, Adam Rose, Bo Dallas.
I love Bo Dallas.
I like Bo Dallas.
Right, but I'm just saying, as a whole.
Crowd doesn't really get
as
it.
As a whole, it's not really panning out to what we all thought it was going to be.
Because it's different. You can get over in front of like 500 people in Florida that you see every week.
But
and
maybe
that's not
going to
translate.
Maybe that goes back to, maybe we're part of the we want now results.
Possibly.
I like a slow build. But you know what? They force it down your throat. Like the Emma thing. Look at Emma.
This.
She's quirky and retarded. She was fucking terrible. And then they put Santino in there. They don't write anything well for Santino. I mean, he's funny on his own. Shut the fuck up.
I'm giving you theme music.
You're giving me shit. But when Santino is given scripted crap, like Tony gives the Wizards, it just falls flat.
This is the Wizard.
Why doesn't anybody like me anymore?
Hey, Kevin.
Kevin, why don't you talk to me?
Kevin, they're throwing me out. I need a bed.
Is it because I left the show early?
Kevin, I'm going to pass out. I need sugar. Kevin.
Jesus Christ.
Two and a half wrestlers. Tune in. Check them out. They're on the network.
ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. They just had a new episode up this week, too.
With Brian and Kevin.
Look at you. Fucking first name basis all of a sudden.
Oh, look at you and Kurt Hawkins.
Couldn't even give him a t-shirt at the PWS
Brian.
Show.
Bert Balkan.
The guy had shirts coming out of his ass already. He had like a shirt around his neck, shirt out of each cargo pocket, out of his back pocket. 8 million people gave him shirts that day.
We're the only one that gave him a shirt in the wrong size, so congratulations
to
us.
He said he's going
to
cut the sleeves off
and wear it
to swole up.
It is a testament to our staying ability that we didn't have his size anymore.
No, we had his size. It just went to somebody else.
Oh, no.
Didn't you? You gave it to Bum.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
Bum had a shirt.
You gave our pink shirt to Bum.
No, Bum had a shirt already.
So where'd the pink large go?
That's a good question.
You didn't give it to Colt.
No, who did it
Wait,
go
Colt
to?
Cabana hasn't done our show. You gave him a shirt?
No, he doesn't have a shirt.
No, we didn't give him a shirt.
Okay, good.
Pretty sure Bum had the pink shirt. He had the pink and blue both draped over a guardrail.
Well, if anybody needs shirts, we
stole it. I don't think Bum stole a shirt. I don't
He's
care that
bum.
You gave the shirt
he needs
to Bum.
Clothing.
Oh,
he stole
fucking
it.
Cancer Gideon sure as shit stole it.
Uh-oh.
You know why he stole it, right?
No, he didn't. I don't think he stole it. Because
he never got
shirt.
His payoff from the Rob Banner show, and he had to eat.
He probably sold it.
Wait, he was booked on that show?
No, Tony, making jokes.
Okay.
Speaking of stealing, end of Raw last night, Rollins... He thinks he's going to cash in his money.
Ooh, that is a great story.
It is.
And Dean Ambrose said we're a bunch of scumbags. I thought that was great, too.
Yes.
Yeah, from one scumbag to another. I love that line. I love that line.
Dean Ambrose is totally a mix between Blackheart and Brian Pillman right now.
He's a nut. Yep. He's a fucking nut, and I love it.
He's shining. And they're both shining. You know, they're outshining Roman Reigns right now.
They had Cena beat to death, and they were ready to cash it in, and here comes Dean Ambrose.
And I thought he was going to beat him at first. And then I remembered, oh, that's right. Dean Ambrose said, I will be your shadow. I'll be there. I think they're overshadowing Roman Reigns for sure.
I don't know about that. I agree.
No, I do.
To an extent. I don't think Roman Reigns is going to end up getting as over as they think that he was.
No.
Because, again... Enough forcing him on us.
Yes.
It's not. I don't know, man. Roman Reigns, I think he's got the it.
No.
I think Ambrose has the it.
I think Ambrose has
the it. I think they all have the it.
Yeah.
They all. I think Ambrose in the long run is the
He's the guy. But I think Roman Reigns is, like I said it before, he's going to peak Batista level. I don't think he'll ever be bigger than Batista was.
You know what's going to happen? 10 years from now.
That's a pretty good level.
We're going to be getting here when
I'm... It is. It's fine.
We're going to be coming here when I'm 50, and we're going to talk about it like Edge and Christian. It's going to be like so-and-so had 20 title reigns, and so-and-so had like 16 or 17. And
I hope so.
That's what it's going to be. They're all going to be huge.
Dude, and I love this the storyline that they're doing with Ambrose saying, "Hey man, anytime you try to cash that in, I'm going to make cuz that's a unique way of prolonging the cashing in the thing. You're going to have him do it. Don't overexpose it. Don't do it every week. But like every now and then, when you least expect Rollins to do it, he does it, and then Ambrose is right there to
Rollins,
kill him.
He could very well be the first person never to cash in.
They could
stretch
go that
for a year.
Oh,
they,
to never cash in?
Yeah.
Oh,
like, he goes the
right,
year
it's only
and
a year.
It expires.
All right.
Yeah. Mm.
That's not a terrible idea.
I think it's an awful idea.
Jesus.
You know what else is an awful idea?
What?
Not paying for stuff when you go to the store.
Listen, she's got an itch.
And the first one to post something on our fucking Facebook page.
I just
about
posted
this
a laugh because I
dumb
thought it was
retard.
Funny. Emma must have been in one of her drug-induced dance fits, allegedly.
Fucking
yeah,
she
retard.
Stole an iPod case.
She was on Flatbush Avenue
in fucking Hartford,
in
Connecticut.
Hartford, Connecticut.
She either has a problem.
I thought it was Queens.
You know, she's probably doing that stupid bubble catch dance and just accidentally grabbed it and walked out.
Well, her story is that she was doing self-checkout, which is the scourge of the shoplifter.
Yeah.
And apparently when she was paying for all of her other goodies, she forgot to pay for that one and
I believe
she got
that.
Bagged.
I wouldn't see her stealing.
She only got a day's worth of community service. It's already been, like, adjudicated, so.
A Jew.
I fucking do the self-checkout all the time. I never forget to pay for anything.
I don't either. You're right.
I forgot a toothbrush once, and I only noticed it in the parking lot because it got caught in the bottom railing of the shopping cart.
That's your own fault for putting it there. It's a fucking toothbrush.
You know,
You drop them in the cart, dude. It's a fucking... What are you going to do?
No, you don't put the small stuff at the bottom. It's
I put it on
out.
The top on the kid's seat, and it must have fell through.
Yeah. I stole donuts. I went to the self-checkout. I had like 8 donuts in the bag,
and
it said, "How many donuts are you buying?" I was like, "Oh, one donut." And I look
one
around.
One bag of donuts.
Yeah, I was like, "Oh, it's a bag. It's one bag." But it had like 1 through 12, and I was like, "Oh, one's good. One donut's good."
You know, the statute of limitations on prosecuting that crime is like 10 years, so you're probably gonna get a
my
call
name
tomorrow.
Is Kevin Garifo.
Is it 10 years for petty larceny?
I don't know. What do you think?
I
know.
It's a fucking
what's the matter with you?
I don't know. Maybe you've had experience. I don't know.
No,
maybe
I was just
Kevin
saying
the
that he's gonna get called. Imagine if he gets a call tomorrow for stealing a donut because we're on the air.
I was just being fictitious.
Oh, if what's worse for Emma?
Fictitious? No, fictitious. What? I was
fictitious?
Telling fiction.
What?
What's worse for Emma? The fact that she has to do a day of community service or spend a day in Hartford, Connecticut?
Oh.
Ooh.
Hartford, you've got experience with Hartford.
They got some good drugs up there.
That's all they have is fucking drugs
up there.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I went to go visit the University
and
of Hartford.
Oof. And whores.
You couldn't even...
Yeah, I've been there plenty of times. Thanks.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah, I remember those
Why?
Days. It's a long story.
Who's gonna do it?
No.
Someone
no.
Do it.
Sue.
Thank you, Eddie.
Oh,
Sue.
I Sue. Just like an ex.
I miss Sue. Sue.
Did I know this?
No. I don't think
no.
so.
No,
I don't think so.
I can't do MBW today. I gotta go to Hartford. I miss Sue.
Wait, was that was when he was bleaching his hair too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And he was the franchise Matt Bowman.
I'm not the fucking maniac anymore.
Franchise Matt Bowman.
Well, if I remember right, it was around that time that you were the leader of the Applebee's World Order. So
I sure was.
You can't talk.
I sure can. I cut nipple holes in my shirt. I said, how do you like them apples? I'm more creative than WWE.
John Cena's on the cover
of
2K15.
There's more to this that I want to know.
No. This is not the time nor the place.
Oh, that's really the best part.
I'm so glad John Cena's on the cover of a video game.
The Applebee World Order.
But the telling sign is that the new logo is on there, the network logo. So that change is actually coming pretty soon.
Cares.
I think after the next pay-per-view, it's officially going to be changed from the Attitude Era
you
logo.
Know, while we record this podcast, I will mention that we do drink Twisted Tea.
Yes.
Yes,
and
we are
have
fans
been.
Of the Twisted Tea, as well as the Twisted Lemonade.
And it has been brought to our attention by Shining Wizards Kevin. WWE has a new sponsor.
Yes. Very upset about this.
What the fuck, guys?
Hey, I'm happy that they finally have like an adult sponsor that's not a fucking toy.
Dude, they had that segment with Adam Rose and Santino with the whole bucket of Twisted Teas in front of them.
I was like, yeah.
That?
We are going to drink the Twisted Tea. Oh, somebody pointed out pay-per-view
that
stat.
TNA show was a base brawl show, too.
The Lakewood show?
Yeah. Sorry.
With the Blue Claws or the Blue Craws?
Whatever Blue Claws. Blue Craws?
What That's are they? How Japanese? Gail Kim says, Santa Claus.
<It's a> Japanese.
Santa Claus come to my house.
The Lakewood Blue Claws. Sorry.
Santa Claus coming to town.
I go to baseball.
And say Santa Claus is there.
Leg rod, book rod.
Yeah, but Twisted
Ching Chong, Ching Chong Chong.
Yeah.
Let's just go all the way while we're at it.
I
Fuck
saw.
It.
Well, you did.
Chickity Ching 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 Chong Chong.
Hello, Joe.
All right.
What
easy,
do you roll?
Easy with the fucking zipper head jokes.
You like a starch?
That's right. We could make fun because Matt's going to
you
marry
like
one.
MSG?
That's right.
Emma.
Oh, man. Look out, cat.
Is it sideways?
Listen, yeah. All we're saying is Twisted
it,
Tea.
Does it blink at you like an orca eye?
Oh, it does. I feel like I'm playing Zelda.
That's awesome.
Or there's a dragon under the covers.
There is a dragon under the covers.
Dragon lady.
Dragon lady.
What,
I think...
I want Twisted Tea to sponsor us.
Yeah.
I want anyone to sponsor us.
Yes.
I'm going to send an email.
Buy a banner.
A Robert banner.
You got to take pictures of all the empty.
So you can fake a heart attack and leave.
That we go through in a night of doing this podcast.
What else we got?
We only have 2,500.
I got nothing else. What do you got?
Cesaro's Eye, Bennett, Happy Canada Day, which I fucked up opening. Oh, here's a quick question for our fans in Canada.
Two.
Who's your favorite Canadian wrestler?
Wayne Gretzky.
Make it topical.
What do we? But who are we asking?
Just who's your favorite Canadian
Seth
wrestler?
Seth Rogen.
Yes. I was thinking Iron Mike Sharp, actually.
Oh.
Seth Rogen.
Can I say Mike Shaw?
Yes.
Okay.
You can't. You just did.
Done. Mike Shaw.
Perfect. Do you have a favorite Canadian wrestler?
I do. My favorite wrestler of all time is Canadian. Bret Hart.
Zack Ryder is sad today.
Oh,
I put that up on Facebook earlier.
Yeah.
I responded to that tweet.
It's kind of crazy. Zack Ryder. For those of you that don't know. Zack Ryder has zero items for sale on the WWE shot. So that's just
and Matt's response was priceless. Say it out loud.
I said, "That's a shame. Maybe Emma took them.
She's in that business."
And I definitely tagged her in the tweet.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Fuck her.
That's great.
Tart.
Fucking Zack Ryder has no merchandise available for sale.
That's
on
just
WWE
spiteful.
He should just ask for his release.
Yeah, it's time to go.
He should have.
It's
his downside cannot be worth all this bullshit that he has to put up with.
No, it's not. And you know, coming from what's his face? Not Brodus Clay, but also coming from Brian Myers, Kevin's best friend now.
Hey, listen, he's not my best friend.
Besties touching testies.
Why are you
getting
angry about your best friend?
Yeah, really, dude, relax.
Yeah,
you're besties.
Awesome.
Besties
because you're talking about
testies.
My best friend. Did
That's
I get
right.
it?
Yeah, but we're not like bad mouthing
them. They seem like they're happier than they've been in a long time. You know?
Yes.
They, you know, it's just it's
see,
rough.
This is a question that we really can't answer. Like, I don't know if there's, I mean, whatever. I'm sure the paycheck isn't terrible and it's guaranteed, but I guess they always have that hope that hopefully it'll turn around. I mean, I think Zach's a little smarter than that.
Turn this thing around.
Zack Ryder's a little smarter than that. That he knows that it's not. But I feel like for the most part, like maybe in the back of their head, they're like, "Oh, maybe I can do something to rejuvenate my career."
Yeah, because that worked out so well last time when he did.
He
and
smashed
got
the U.S. belt, dude.
See, that's what I'm saying. I'm not talking about Ryder. I'm talking about
anyone
guys. In the most part that they.
But like I heard on a podcast, I forgot whose it was. One at Jericho's, maybe. How discouraging it must be that you have a guy that you know Jim Ross says reach for the brass ring, break the ceiling, and you had a guy that did it, and look how they treated him.
That's Jim Ross got fired for giving terrible advice.
Jim Ross got heat for telling the Vince McMahon shit his pants story.
No, Jim Ross got fired for letting Ric Flair get drunk at the Q&A panel for
2K14
or whatever.
Bullshit.
Well, they were just looking for a reason to fire him. Vince doesn't like JR. He doesn't.
He's a fucking idiot. Look, I'm happy that JR's not calling matches anymore. I wish the King would follow suit and they would get somebody out there other than Michael Cole.
Awful.
Oh, one last note about the King. Did you see that him and Paige?
Yeah, great.
Did the reverse picture with the King standing there and Paige checking out his ass?
Yeah, ha ha ha.
I thought that was funny.
It's great. Maybe
fuck you guys if you didn't.
Maybe the King can take his fucking ass down to the fucking playground and molest another kid.
Allegedly.
No, allegedly. The
allegedly,
fucking
allegedly,
fucking
allegedly. I can't hear you.
USWA,
blah, blah, blah,
WWF
blah, blah, blah.
Angle because he's a fucking blah, 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 petter blah, 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 ass. Blah. You fucking
Woo!
Creep.
They lost their television because of that angle.
Good. He's a piece of
their
shit.
Their television was kind
of
shitty.
I hope
they were losing it anyway and they went out with a bang.
Yeah, it was kind
of. Speaking of going out with a bang, do we have a closing number to
Jerry
do some
Law
credits?
Can eat the fucking corn out of my shit.
How do you like them apples?
Awesome.
What?
Do we have a closing number?
I don't know. Do I have anything else?
Yeah, come on. You got something. So. I'll do some plugs.
My girl fucking Serena Deeb wrestled a 60-minute match at the Shine pay-per-view.
Really?
Yeah. That's not a very nice name.
Hey, I didn't name it, dude. Shine Wrestling. Whoops.
Wow.
So you ring the bell. That a boy. I didn't name it. It's called Shine Wrestling. It's the women's stuff.
Oh, God. I have a plug.
Keep it up. I'm a nigga.
On that note, let's.
Are you going to do a live
gears.
Are we going to do a live read? Again?
No, I'm just going
to
get
no,
through it.
No, please no. I have so much editing to do.
There's an organization out there support these guys. They're in the South, yo. It's called UPWA. They have Summer Showdown 2014 in Wilmington, is it? North Carolina? Is that
Wilmington.
How you say it? Wilmington.
Hey guys,
North
have
Carolina.
You heard
my parents are there right now.
Well, then they can check out UPWA if they want.
I'm sure they already have.
Upwah. Upwah.
Shut the fuck up. It's like their 9th anniversary show, so check them out.
That's a weird anniversary to celebrate.
Well, I'm sure they celebrated their 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th,
celebrate every
8th,
year.
Too.
Yeah, when
every
you're
year.
Married, not like...
It's a marriage, man.
Oh, good. So in November, we just won't do our 3rd anniversary show?
Exactly.
We do a podcast. We're not a wrestling promotion. And we do it weekly. We are a weekly episodic podcast.
I guess 9 years is pretty good for an independent promotion to be around,
though. I think
it's great. IWF's been around for 20, right?
Oh, Kevin Knight?
Allegedly.
Yes. Allegedly. No, not allegedly. Eat the corn out of my shit.
Our buddy Mark Carino. This ties in really well.
Yes.
When we had him on live at the comedy show that we did at Crossroads, I said, Mark, have you done any WWE work like your brother? He said, no, not yet. Fast forward, he's done a couple of shots now. He was with one of the Rosebuds, you know, doing some WWE TV and pay-per-view. So shout out to Mark Carino. Good stuff, man. That's awesome.
Good job, Mark.
That's excellent stuff, yeah.
And we are the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. We are in discussions right now for the next run of Shining Wizards shirts. I think we're very close to picking a color scheme.
Yeah.
They might be available very soon. We will keep you updated.
Should we let the fans of the Shining Wizards
God,
vote?
No, God, fuck no. Them.
Listen,
fuck
them. Using the app?
No, fuck them.
Do we have an app? No. I do want to plug our friends to the north, Smash Wrestling, smash-wrestling.com. Check them out. They got a lot of good stuff online.
I want to fuck to this music.
And fucking
God,
Progress Wrestling from the UK. Our buddy Baza Smith sent us a link. Free card, Chapter 13, Unbelievable Jeff. It's got Devitt against Zack Sabre Jr.
Nice.
So,
wait, Jack Sabbath?
No, not Jack. You're a fucking just awful.
What are they going to do to Prince Devitt when he gets to WWE?
Carmine Sabia.
What are they going to do to Prince Devitt when he gets to WWE?
He's going to be a Rosebud.
He's going to be a Rosebud.
He's got so much fucking potential. He really does.
They're going to fuck it up, aren't they?
Hey, finger up the ass.
Oh, we didn't talk about Kenta either.
Nay.
Kenta finally making it over there.
Well, okay. They're not going to make that announcement until
Japan.
WWE tours Japan.
Yeah, way to spoil it, Kev.
No, it was in
Who's
the news.
Who the fuck is going to Japan anyway?
I saw.
That's not good.
Anything else we got to...
ShiningWizards.com/merch. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards. Buying stuff on Amazon... We got Bupkis for June. I know you people are buying shit on Amazon, so go there and buy through us. Support the cause.
Tell them we sent you.
Spread the word. Spread your legs.
Emma's song is terrible.
You know, I kind of want to do cocaine. I really want to snort a couple lines right now.
I
want to
do a couple of bumps off my car keys right now.
Bump, bump, bump.
Bump, 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 bump.
Bram, bram,
anything
bram,
else?
Bram.
I guess that's it, huh? Already?
We should play this during every episode.
The whole show.
Just on loop.
Who's got a worse theme?
Let's do that real fast. All right, Matt, you go first.
Seth Rollins.
I'm going to lower this.
No, Dustin Rhodes, The Natural.
Does it? I like The Natural.
We're gonna have a quick little...
This is bonus coverage.
A bad theme.
Wait. You each have to pick it, and you can't switch it. You got a couple seconds to find your song.
My thing's not plugged into the soundboard.
Well,
sorry, do you three do it?
Well, no, those two. I'm not doing this.
Okay, hold on.
Matt versus Eddie. All right, Matt's ready. Are you ready?
I like
Wait,
this one.
Let Eddie find his.
see which one it is first.
Taz.
I know, but which
Taz
one
Taz as the worst?
I fucking hated this. Which one is it?
This was awesome. This is WWE.
Let's see which one it is. Yeah, two.
It's the first one.
It's a da-da-da-da.
Here comes the bass.
That's not bad.
I love this one.
All right. Eddie, which one do you have? World
Wrestling Federation. You'll hear it.
Oh, no. The revolutionary force in sports entertainment.
Suelo Mercy?
No.
Got that.
Outback Jack?
No.
No, hold on.
Oh, God. I saw his screen.
It's not Skinner.
Yeah, it's Skinner.
Ugh.
That's terrible.
I think Eddie wins.
Yeah, but I don't think
you know what? Real quick, since you said Waylon Mercy, I can't really.
He's like, oh, that's bad.
Who's that?
I love this. This is Chuck Palumbo. I can tell. I was a big Chuck Palumbo guy.
This sounds like the Undertaker's.
It sounds
music.
Like. It's here's awful. Mine. Hold on.
Why do you win?
Mine start with a tag.
Lives are gonna be in Waylon Mercy's hands. You know,
know what I mean?
This is good.
Kevin's got a hard on.
Sounds like a Joe Cocker song.
Waylon Mercy. I'm coming for you.
What would you think?
I got bad knees. I'll be around for a month or two, and then I'm gone.
Just like the Widowmaker.
I'll be gone. Just like the Widowmaker. You'll never see me again. After my match with Savio Vega.
Good night, everyone.
I got one.
I
for
have
you.
Potential. And a forehead tattoo. But I was older. I was pushing 42.
Down by the lake. Skipping lots of rock.
I killed an ant.
Pat Patterson loved my cock.
But I didn't get a push. Cause I didn't like his. But at least when I wrestled, I'm more over than The Miz.
And I like jizz.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
What if we mix Waylon Mercy's theme music with Max Moon's?
You have AIDS. That's how they do every other theme song nowadays.